Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this Sunday's edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, and I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia. I'm broadcasting to the facilities of ShakeAndWakeRadio.com. I'm also being simulcast on the Truth Be Told Radio Network. Welcome to the show. Always start the show off with a little plug for the stations, guys. If you can afford a cup of coffee or better every month to help these folks out with the expenses they incur bringing this stuff to you, and this great information and the great guests, please reach in your pocket and throw them a couple bucks. I know they'd really appreciate it. And as always, I always start the show thanking my producer, because at the end, I always forget to do it. So thanks, Steve, for what you do with me, or what you do for me every week. And as usual, every 2 weeks, I have a man that comes on my shows like clockwork, unbelievable regularity. And we've been doing this for many, many years. And I always look forward to talking to my friend Roger Landry. We should just call this the Roger Landry Barry Prince Hour every couple of weeks, because that's what it turns out to be. Roger, welcome, and always good to have you in. And before the show, we talked about what's going to be your pet peeve of the week. I know you really want to get into that right away, so we'll start with that. And thanks for coming in again, my friend.
It's always a pleasure. But as you do, I'd like to say a couple of things. First off, I'd like to thank Steve, because Steve has to put up with me. And a lot of times I probably overdrive his equipment when I get a little bit overexcited. Mm. I'd also like to say thank you to Annie over at Shake and Wake Radio, because she replays my show, which is on RBN. And I just did that a couple of hours ago. I do a show called TLB Talk Radio, and that's on from noon to 1 o'clock on RBN, Republic Broadcasting Network. So Annie is one of my favorite people. You are one of my favorite people. And Steve, just because he tolerates me twice a month, is one of my favorite people. So now that I've got that done, look, as far as I'm concerned, Ukraine, Russia, Taiwan, China, and what looks like the building case for the impeachment of Joe Biden in November of 2022 are all distractions. And they are distractions that are necessary beyond belief. If you are going to commit such a heinous global crime that you absolutely cannot afford until it has reached fruition for anybody to be talking about it, when you must ensure that the programmed ignorance stays around as long as it possibly can, then, yeah, let's go back to the door number one, door number two, door number three, and in this case, door number four. I'm not going to tell you what door number one is. I'm going to tell you that door number two is Russia-Ukraine. Okay? If anybody doesn't believe that that isn't, to start off with, some sort of a distraction, I spent 30 years with the military-industrial complex. I can tell you that Russia had the equipment and it had the manpower to step in and do a blitzkrieg on the Ukraine. They didn't. Now, we can explain a lot of that away with supply lines and the whole nine yards. We can knock down one right after the other. The fact that Russia wasn't prepared, their troops weren't trained, their supply lines were screwed up, the whole nine yards. But I'm telling you, because I know, Russia had the manpower and the armament to walk right over Ukraine. They didn't. I'm also going to tell you that if this starts to wane in attention from the global public, which it's already starting to do, the next big thing on the radar will be a Taiwan-China scenario. What most people don't understand is, and for most of you who don't know, the three top military powers on the planet are the United States, number one, okay, Russia, number two, China, number three. This is a global power firepower rating that's done every single year on 142 nations. There's about 196 nations on the planet, so why is it only 142? Because some countries on this planet have a military that the Boy Scouts would put to shame. Mm. So it rates actual militaries to have actual power, some sort of kill power. It's called a firepower rating. Ukraine is number 22 out of 142. So they're not really a pushover. But Taiwan is number 21, one higher than Ukraine. And we see what's happening there. So if we are – what we are being led to believe is that Ukraine is actually standing up for themselves in a lot of cases. You can actually see the tanks being destroyed, so on and so forth. So if you stop to consider that China is one below Russia and Taiwan is one above Ukraine in this firepower rating, then China jumping on Ukraine is going to be like anybody going out into the woods and trying to hug a porcupine. It ain't going to feel good. But, again, door number one, door number two, door number three, President – oh, God, I'm not even going to say that. Joe Bob being impeached. And you're already seeing the media, which absolutely was burying anything having to do with Hunter Biden's laptop right before the election in 2020. Oh, that never happened. It's Russian disinformation. 50 U.S. intel muckety-mucks, highly placed people stepped up to say that that was more than likely Russian propaganda.
Yep.
Okay? Now, they're all finding out that no, it wasn't. What this proves beyond a shadow of a doubt is that the guy sitting in the White House, which, Barry, if you remember, I've been saying for about a year and a half, is compromised.
Beyond
compromised. I have been saying that over and over again. All right. Well, here you go. Door number two, door number three, and now we got a door number four. Well, what the hell is door number one then? What could be worse than Russia-Ukraine, Taiwan-China, and the United States having its president, you know, literally not only removed from office, but maybe even sent to prison? What could be worse than that? What I'm about to talk to you about makes that seem totally insignificant, because these are, in fact, in relation, insignificant. They are distractions. Distractions from what? Barry, you will also remember on your show, because we can go back and pull old shows up a year and a half ago, and I'm telling your audience that every time you take a COVID-19 shot, it knocks your immune system to its knees. Do you remember me telling you that?
Yep, we talked about that a long time ago, Roger.
Do you also remember me telling you that after the third or fourth shot, you probably wouldn't have an immune system left, which would leave your body open to numerous diseases and cancers and everything else, right? You remember me saying that?
Yeah, we talked about the percentages. We talked about the percentages.
We're also going to talk about that right now, because door number one, we go right back to the COVID-19 vaccines. But we now have scientists in the United States. We now have scientists in Italy. We now have scientists in the UK. And I could go on stating unequivocally, and I have all of the articles and all of the studies done to prove this beyond a shadow of a doubt, what I'm about to tell you. What I'm about to tell you makes anything else going on this planet right now seem insignificant. I'm not joking. I don't joke, you know that, not on this show, all right? And I'm not even going to yell today, or I'm going to try not to, because this is far too important for a few screams and hollers to subjugate any of the information. So let's talk about the most significant thing happening on the planet today and why it requires things like the distraction of a possibility of World War III or the possibility of the United States president being ripped from office and maybe even thrown in prison. Why do you need distractions of that magnitude? The Department of Defense has a database, and I think I told you, your audience on a show a couple of weeks ago, that that was gone through by a couple of whistleblowers pointing out that the amount of vaccine adverse reactions was over the top. They had never seen anything like this before. We also had, and oh, believe me, I ain't even close to done. We also had an Italian doctor who, guess what? He stepped up to say, and this is a guy who won, I believe, a Nobel Prize in medicine. He stepped up to say, if you have had your first two shots and your booster – You need to go listen to me. You need to go to your doctor. And if he cannot perform the proper test, you need to go to a hospital and be tested for AIDS. Now, 2 weeks later, this Italian doctor was dead. I also have a show, a video, where another doctor, Dr. Eads, EADS, is being interviewed, and she's speaking for other doctors, stating what they are seeing on a drastic rise is AIDS in anybody who has received their third COVID shot. Whilst you were being distracted by what was going on in Ukraine and Russia, the UK stepped up and reported, the UK government, that anybody who has had three COVID shots is about 2 weeks away from getting AIDS. But it's called VAIDS because it's vaccine induced. Okay, it's not something you get from a bad sexual partner, which is what we were all led to believe, I don't know how many years ago, when the AIDS scare went through the entire planet.
Yep.
This, what we're talking about right now, is vaccine induced. Now, how the hell can something that was supposed to, and we know it's not a vaccine, because a vaccine's supposed to keep your body from getting a virus. It's supposed to keep your body from storing a virus, and thusly, it's supposed to keep you from being able to transmit that virus. We already know that the CDC, the FDA, and health organizations across the planet have stepped up to say the COVID-19 shots can't do that. Whoa, wait a minute. Why are you forcing me to get a gene therapy experimental jab that can't even do anything it's supposed to do, but I better get it or you're going to destroy my life? Okay? I'm going to tell you that the spike protein that was built into these quote-unquote vaccines, they're not. Well, we'll use that word because most of you will understand what I'm talking about when I use the word vaccines. That was the spike protein built into these vaccines contains three different things. SARS, which you would expect in a vaccine because it's supposed to set up immunity for SARS-CoV. SARS, MERS, which it isn't supposed to, and HIV. This comes from a study, not from something just sitting off the shelf or something somebody grabbed without knowing what they were talking about. This comes from an actual study. It's a Stanford study. And they say that it's called a lentivirus. The lentivirus contains a combination of AIDS, MERS, and SARS. Did you all hear what I just said? Okay. If you get the first shot, it knocks your immune system to the ground. And you're probably all going to remember me saying this many times. But at some point, it may start to come back a little bit. Once you get your second shot, it knocks it to the ground again. And after a certain amount of time, they figure the effectiveness is 3 to 4 months, whatever, it may start to come back again. Once you receive your third shot, you literally have no immune system left. And once your immune system is gone and they have literally implanted into your body, because remember how they were shocked. The scientists were shocked that when you receive this quote-unquote vaccine, say you got it in the arm, that it didn't stay there, that the blood passing through didn't pick up what it was supposed to pick up, and the immunity was set up from there. It spread throughout your entire body, the spike proteins. And they said, oh, it wasn't supposed to do that. Anybody out there who believes that these scientists that invented this and have been testing it on humans for years, although that's not what they're going to tell you, didn't have a clue that it wasn't going to leave the point where the shot was, you know, administered, yeah, is an idiot.
Yeah.
So now what you've got is this thing is traveling throughout the entire body, and it is dumping SARS, MERS, and AIDS proteins throughout the body. We are now being told by doctors across the planet that those who have had their third shot, especially those who have had their third shot, are just about guaranteed to end up with AIDS. This Dr. Eads is saying there will be millions of cases of AIDS by fall in the United States. But this is what else she says. Because, okay, Barry, do you remember me telling you that this stuff will affect your DNA, it'll affect your genes? But yeah,
that's what it's designed to do.
Well, actually, that's not what the CDC and the FDA said. They called me a liar. They said what I was putting out was misinformation or disinformation, and there was no way I could prove that I needed to stop saying that. I was even shut down for a while, and everything I put out about that was removed, except the Stanford study steps up to say that this shot permanently alters the genes of the cell. The Stanford study. So now we've got proof that this will alter your genes. Now we've got proof that this is going to give you VAIDS. It's AIDS with a V, meaning that you got it because you got a vaccine. Vaccine induced. We know for a fact there will be millions of Americans that will come down with AIDS by the fall. And the doctors are stating unequivocally the biggest concern they have is since this permanently changes the genome of the human cells, they haven't got a clue how to fix it. They have no clue at all. Now, for anybody listening to what I just said, I want you to answer something to yourself. I'm going to ask you a question. You try and figure a logical answer for this. We're talking about COVID-19, which has the knockdown power of the yearly flu. 0.02% for adults without massive comorbidities. I'm talking about just regular adults who are healthy. And 0.002 for kids, which means forget it. It's not going to kill them. Right? But yet, we're talking about a vaccine that is undoubtedly the most deadly pharmaceutical agent ever administered to humanity in the entire history of humanity. And they're bullying you and coercing you into taking it. And every time somebody starts to step up to tell you about this, oh, gee, World War III is happening. Oh, gee, something's happening that's going to distract you. The last thing you're thinking about is a vaccine. You're thinking about whether or not Russia's going to start lobbing nukes at us, whether or not China's going to start lobbing nukes at us, whether or not the last thing you're thinking about is the fact that a virus with the mortality rate of a flu is being treated by vaccinating the entire global population, something that has never happened, even in pandemics 10 times or 100 times worse than COVID-19. It's never happened. So what you're looking at is the fact that globally, billions have had their first shot, billions have had their second shot, and billions have had their third shot. And now you're being told, because Joe Bob just got it in front of the entire world, he just got his fourth shot, his second booster, which you know wasn't a vaccine. But anyway, that's what they told everybody, right in front of the entire world. So now that we've got Stanford saying this, now that we've got reputable doctors, including one who received a Nobel Prize in medicine and then died 2 weeks later, now that we've got people like this stepping up to say, this is unequivocally genocide, can anybody out there explain to me why? And if you believe anything I've told you, and you can go to the Liberty Beacon because all the proof is there, and you know I wouldn't be saying it if I didn't have it, who the hell out there is going to allow themselves, their children, their family, people they love, people they work with, anybody to ever get another COVID shot. We are already looking at a massive die-off, and it's no longer a question. These are doctors across the planet stepping up unequivocally, and Stanford giving us the information because they actually took the vaccines and they actually ran a study on them. This right now, what we are looking at is AIDS across the entire planet. What does AIDS do? AIDS takes your entire immune system to its knees. Now, if you want to say anything, Barry, I need to take a breath, but I ain't done.
Well, you're just getting warmed up, Roger. We don't want to stop you now, man. Oh, man. Actually, what is AIDS? It's acquired immune deficiency syndrome.
Yes.
And a couple of reports I read, getting back to the your immunity levels after your third shot, I heard the numbers I heard were between zero, but you could, depending on the individual, still have 25% of your immunity available in your body after your third shot. After your fourth shot, you do not have an immune system in your body. I got a couple different varying numbers on that from doctors, but it's all telling us the same thing, that after the fourth booster, which, you know, or the second booster, what they're really pushing on now really hard, we are not going to have an immune system. So what's going to happen to people, Roger, when that actually takes hold in society at that level?
Well,
how many people are we going to see? We're talking about the measles killing it.
Joe Bob stepped up in front of the entire world and grimaced as they stuck a needle in his arm and gave him his second booster, his fourth shot. So doesn't that kind of, and the reason I even mentioned that, doesn't that kind of lead right into what you said? The doctors are saying we are seeing after the third shot. It is not regular routine yet that everybody get a second booster, but they are working that into the scenario now. Starting with the president of the United States receiving his second booster on national TV, okay? Because after the third shot, you are – this doctor over in Italy, who died 2 weeks later, said after your third shot, you need to go and get tested. Yep. Now, I'm also going to tell you something. If the immune system is compromised to the point where it basically doesn't exist at all anymore, or it exists at such an insignificant level – that it's not really doing anything for you anymore, then the body can literally be taken down by just about anything that wouldn't even have bothered you prior to this scenario. But one of the biggest things that most people aren't understanding is cancer. I'm going to give you a few facts about cancer. Okay? Right now, what we are hearing when we talk about cancer is that there are professionals out there stating that if you are in the military and you are one of the people that they have been researching or you're part of their statistics, they are seeing an increase in cancer of 1,000%, not 50%, not 100%, which would be double, 1,000%, which would be 10 times the amount of cancer they normally see. But the same researchers said this: at the rate of increase we are seeing, we fully expect in the near future that that will top a 5,000% increase, or 50 times more actual cancers than we have ever seen or what's normal. 50 times the amount. That's insane. But if you think I'm going to stop there, I'm not. Let's talk about some other cancers, okay? And again, this is all from basically the same people. This is all from the Department of Defense, and it's from the Defense Medical Epidemiology Database, DMED. Malignant neoplasma of the esophagus is up by 794%, so basically 800%. malignant neoplasma of the stomach, colon, and pancreas is up by 524%. Breast cancer is up by 387%. Ovarian cancer is up by 537%. And for those of you who think you've got balls, testicular cancer is up by 269%. Now, let me tell you something. For all of you say, when's the starting point? I'm going to tell you. This all started in 2021 after the proliferation of the COVID-19 vaccines. I've got to ask you something. If cancers are up by, and one doctor saying at least 2,000%, all in all, combined. If it's up by 2,000%, and I just read you a bunch of numbers that should have blown you all away, if this all happens in 1 year, how the hell could that happen? That's never happened in the history of humanity. It's totally physically impossible to find anything even close to that. Anything even close to 10% of that in 1 year. There has to be something that jumped the gun. There has to be something that radically changed the equation, that radically changed the scenario. It has to be something that is introduced into the body causing what we're seeing. Gee, would anybody out there like to guess the only thing? The only thing that could possibly speak out to this? And if you're saying anything besides the COVID-19 vaccine, you need to go have an IQ test, because I seriously think you're too stupid to be alive.
It's just a coincidence, Roger. Man, oh man, come on. They wouldn't do something to harm us.
Keep the population under 500 million in tune with nature. There's 8 billion of us.
Yeah, and we don't have a ticket to the big party, buddy.
Nope.
Question, Roger. These stats that you're quoting on right now, where are you getting them from?
Why did I know you were going to ask me that?
I have
an article. Yes, I did know. I have an article on the Liberty Beacon. It's a show that I did, not today's, but last Sunday's show. It's called TLB Talk Radio. That's the first part. Then there's your little thing there. And it says, the title of the show is Healthcare Gone Fatal. Gee, imagine that. Healthcare Gone Fatal. Go to the Liberty Beacon, go to the search bar and type in Healthcare Gone Fatal. That's all you need to put in. You're going to come up with this. It not only has those statistics, it has the video of this Dr. Eads discussing all of this. It also has linked to the article where the UK government puts out just a little thing under. They really didn't want you to see it. They almost tried to hide it. This is a similar report out last week by the UK government indicating the triple vaxxed are getting VADs. And the discussion she's in, you will also hear the commentator discussing the Italian doctor. Now, I got to tell you something. You got one source telling me this. I'm going to say, you know what? I ain't heard that before. You may have spiked my interest. But am I going to believe you and go running and telling everybody about it? Nope. My minimum criterion is it has to be three unrelated sources saying the same thing. So now we've got the doctor in Italy, dead after 2 weeks after saying it. Now we've got Dr. E speaking for a bunch of doctors on a video where you can actually see her saying this. And we have an article released by the UK government telling people that if you've had three shots, you're probably going to get, guess what, AIDS. Now we have three sources that are totally apart from each other. They're related in no fashion whatsoever. There's no congruency between any of those three groups. They're all saying the same thing. One of them is in Italy. The other one is way the hell up in the UK, and the other one is way the hell over in America. So let me explain something to you. Anybody here that doesn't believe the same thing isn't happening in France, the same thing isn't happening in Russia, the same thing isn't happening in, I could go on and on. This is happening globally. We have never seen a coerced vaccination project like this in the history of mankind. They are literally forcing or coercing everybody across the planet to get not one shot, not two shots. It used to be if you got one shot, you were good. You could get a vaccine pass. Then they decided, no, you needed two shots, so your vaccine pass isn't good until you get your second shot. And then they decided, no, you know, we think you need a booster. That's your third shot. So your vaccine pass didn't work until you got your booster. Why would they be doing this unless they already knew that it took three shots? Do you know what Dr. Eads calls the third COVID-19 shot?
Kill shot.
The kill. You're looking at it, aren't you?
No, I just know that's what he calls. That's what he calls
it's a,
it.
It's a
that
she.
Would make sense, wouldn't it? Because it is it's the kill a she. Shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. She calls it the kill shot. Or she also says, or the money shot. Because it's right on the money.
Yeah. Hey, Steve wants to ask you a quick question here, Roger.
Sure.
Hello, Roger.
Hello, Steve.
Earlier on this year, there were a lot of reports, just thousands and thousands and thousands of reports of shedding. Are there expected to be any sort of similarities with the people getting AIDS and doing something to other people's immune systems, or like a shedding like incidents or something? Or
that is not anything that has come out in anybody who is reporting on this. Nothing. So I would imagine that if that was a key influence for the spreading of this, it would have been brought up. That's not to say we're not going to hear about it next week, but you know me. I'm not going to guess. I'm going to tell you exactly what I know. And I've done a lot of research on this, and nobody has said that this is transmissible. We do know that AIDS was transmissible, but this is a man-made product. So it may be more limited. It may not have all of the capabilities of a full-blown case of sexually transmitted AIDS or something like that. It may not. But that doesn't mean – I'm going to explain something to you. That doesn't mean if your spouse has found that they've got VAIDS that you should take the chance, because it hasn't been said yet. But I would think, since AIDS was transmissible – we may be talking the same thing here, and that's a very good question, Steve.
Hmm. It would only make sense, you think, Roger, that if
you're I'm not going to say it until I know.
Yeah, we can't say until we know, but logic would say that if you're in close contact with somebody, that it might be transmissible, but we can't say at this point, like you said, because there is no reports on that. But it would make logical sense that it is. Pretty scary, no matter how we look at it.
When Stanford steps up to say that there's SARS, which you would expect to be in that vaccine, okay? Let's talk about it. A flu vaccine has the flu in it, all right? A SARS-CoV-2 vaccine should have SARS in it. But why does it have MERS and why does it have HIV? It shouldn't, but it does. And this is Stanford doing a study and stating unequivocally. And how much do you think I jumped up and shook my fist in the air? Not because I was happy. I'm not happy about any of this. To me, this is the worst thing I've ever had to talk about in my entire life. We're talking about something that's going to affect billions across the planet, and most of them are going to die. All right? How much do you think I jumped up and shook my fist in the air when Stanford said that this protein, this protein that you find in the manufactured COVID-19 vaccines is, it affects this lentivirus literally affects your genome. Your genome, your DNA. It literally does that. When I was telling people that, and I was being my material was being taken down, it was being shadow banned. I was being the Liberty Beacon on Facebook. They were saying we're passing, lies and misinformation and disinformation. What are they going to do? Are they going to go to Stanford now and tell them you guys can't go on Facebook anymore?
I'd like to see some more studies coming out backing that up, Roger. Then it would really give you some ammunition to take to the fight, wouldn't it?
In the Stanford study, hold on. In the Stanford study, the best known lentivirus is the human immune deficiency pathogen, which causes AIDS. Right. This is why we are seeing autoimmune and neurodegenerative decline after the COVID-19 vaccine, especially the booster. It permanently changes the genome of the cell. I just gave you a quote. Do you think Stanford is going to literally put their entire reputation on the line by putting out something like this?
I'm not questioning the validity of their study at all, Roger. It would just be nice to see a couple more get involved and come up with the same results.
Who else has the NADS? And if they got the NADS, do they have testicular cancer? So they won't say anything.
Well, I know it's insanity what's going on, Roger. It really is. I mean, people are just on the fringe right now, I think, of getting to the point where it's going to be public knowledge now of all these rises in disease. I know quite a few people myself now that have been affected by this, Roger, and I'm up in a small town. So I can't imagine. One of the problems, we have in our society, Roger, is that people don't like to interact anymore. That kind of been taken out of our society. And I think it was taken over society on purpose, of course, for this particular time when they didn't want people to communicate with each other, that they've created all these barriers in our society where people cannot communicate anymore. It's very difficult. But what people are finding out, Roger, is that there's so many of us that share the same concerns. And what's happening now, people are starting to come forward and they're seeing their friends and neighbors come forward. And I think the tidal wave is starting to form, buddy. Go ahead.
Let me give you a couple of more quotes, okay? This is why this is so terrifying to the medical community. This is a quote from Dr. Eads. They have no clue how to attack this. Next quote. So are the COVID-19 vaccines, she's being asked, actually injecting people with AIDS? Dr. Eads indicated when asked this, that's exactly what I'm telling you. That is what the spike lentivirus is. The spike is made up of HIV/AIDS along with SARS and MERS. Again, this would explain why the fully vaccinated with booster are so sick. That's why they dominate the hospitalizations regarding COVID illnesses as well. Okay. You just injected them with SARS. You would expect that any vaccine that fights SARS would have SARS in it. But if you've also injected them with AIDS, that means it's going to absolutely destroy their immune system. And now that they've got AIDS and they have no immune system, the SARS in there, the SARS-CoV-2, the COVID-19, is free to run rampant on the body and basically kill people. Let's go to Israel. Israel is the most vaccinated society on the planet when we talk about nation states. It is. They were the first to have, 90% of their population with the first vaccine, the second vaccine, and the first to have a vast majority of their population shot up with the booster. If you take a look, 75 to 85%, depending on who you go to for the information, of the people in the hospitals right now suffering from COVID-19 or dying from it are fully vaccinated. Gee, does it make a little bit more sense to everybody? I told all of you this 2 months ago, and you all, I'm sure, said, okay, Roger, that sounds good. But it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Now it does, doesn't it? Because the numbers you're quoting,
the numbers you're quoting, we're seeing them all over the world, not just Israel.
I'm talking about Israel.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Israel simply because it's the most in your face and the easiest to see.
Yeah. But those numbers are being reported by Denmark, by all kinds of countries now are reporting that, you know, 60 to 70 to 80% of the people suffering in the hospitals right now are all double or triple jabbed. And now they're talking about a fourth booster, and they have approved that one now for public use. When are they going to stop, Roger?
Well, they put Joe Bob on TV and had him stuck in the arm while all of the world was watching.
Yeah, full saline solution, my friend. Come on.
I know this. But the thing of it is, there are still enough sheeple out there who will believe what they see. Again, what we're looking at here is a decimation of the global population. I'm not telling you everybody that's had three shots and come down with eight is going to die. A lot of them may not. But how the hell are we going to have, because we've already decimated healthcare across the planet. If these healthcare workers won't take these shots, they're fired. And if they do take them, they're in with those other patients. Decimated the healthcare tool, program, project across the entire planet. And now we will have tens of millions, hundreds of millions, probably a few billion who may survive, may not die, but will be so immunodeficient for the rest of their lives, however short they may be, that they're going to require constant hospitalization or constant care. How long do you think that's going to last? And who the hell do you think is going to take care of billions of people across the planet? We don't have the resources anymore. They made sure they got rid of those first.
Absolutely. Well, you got to ask yourself why Justin Trudeau has bought 400 million vaccinations on behalf of the Canadian people. If that doesn't get your attention, folks, I don't know what to say, but that's what the government's doing here. They know the plan and how it's going to be rolled out. 36 million in Canada.
That's just freaking insane beyond belief, isn't it?
You know, Roger, I got to ask you a question here. Now, we know that these vaccines, or I won't call it a vaccine, I shouldn't call it a vaccine. We know these jibby jabs are really affecting people's immune system. Do you think people are going to live long if they get a third or a fourth booster? If you have no immune system, then any kind of germ has the potential to kill you. You're talking about mass die-offs, I think, at a very accelerated rate. Wouldn't you say, given the light that a lot of people have had the second and now the third jab?
In 3 to 5 years, you are going to see a massive die-off. It's going to start by the end of this year. This doctor is already saying millions will have AIDS in the United States alone by the fall. By the end of the year, we are going to see millions dying across the planet. Within 2 to 3 years after that, it's going to start to ramp up like you wouldn't believe. Within 5 years, it's going to go through the entire global population. But let me go back to something, because I really want to make this point again. Everybody needs to listen to this. We have doctors screaming bloody murder that cancers are up by on an average of 2,000%. The DOD's own medical database is stating that within a very short period of time, the deaths we're seeing from cancer could exceed 5,000% increase. What does that mean? That means if you've got 10 people dying from cancer and you've got a 5,000% increase, that's 50,000 people dying, okay? If you've got, you know, if you've got 100 people, that's 500,000. If you've got 1,000 people, that's 5 million. If you've got 1 million, you're talking billions. And I'm going to tell you right now, the amount of people who have received their third shot globally far exceeds 1 billion people. Do your own math. We're looking at anywhere from 3 to 5 billion people dying from this if we stop it today. But World War III is about to happen. And when nobody's paying attention to Ukraine, when nobody's paying attention to Russia, when nobody's paying attention to China or Taiwan, when Joe Bob can't catch the news anymore or Hunter, then people may start to focus on this. But until then, everybody is distracted. The biggest thing going on this planet right now is not Russia-Ukraine. It is not Joe Bob. It is not China and Taiwan. It is genocide. It's literally happening right under your nose, but you are distracted. I don't blame you. World War III is terrifying. They have been planning this for well over a decade. They got it right.
Roger, I got another question for you.
Okay, go ahead, Steve. Go ahead, and then I got a question from chat for you, Roger.
What would somebody search, or what would I search up for that Stanford study you were talking about earlier?
The information for that I got came from the discussion with the doctor and Dr. Eads and the commentator who was asking her questions. Her credentials are basically flawless. I would ask you this, okay? If you, in fact, can find, any reference to that study, or we can publish that study, or even a synopsis of that study, please let me know, because I will do it in a heartbeat. But if you've got a doctor who is speaking for an entire team of doctors who stands in front of the entire nation and says, this is what is happening, and most of this can be proved unequivocally, then I would tend to believe that the only thing she would say that would be an absolute lie would be one of the most important things she says. No, I would give her that credibility. And I would look up basically Stanford study, COVID-19 vaccines, and Lenten. It's spelled Lentivirus. Lentivirus. Okay?
Okay. Hey, Roger, quick question from chat. So who created the Ukraine situation? Somebody wanted to know. In a heartbeat. We only got about 10 minutes left or 8 minutes left here, so I'll get you
I really don't want to beat that up a whole lot right now, but what most people do need to understand is that Russia isn't totally to blame for this, and that the United States and NATO has a lot to do with the causality of this. And what most people also don't know is that the Ukraine had its military active in the areas, the breakaway areas that would prefer to be part of Russia. And they were doing attacks and moving in for attacks 3 days prior to Russia ever moving into the Ukraine. But you never heard that from NATO. You never heard that from the United States. And Ukraine, if you, I don't know, maybe if you asked the president and he was backed against the wall, he may admit it, but I doubt it seriously. Anybody who thinks that Russia wanted to become a pariah and just marched into Ukraine and started killing civilians and everything else just because they wanted to for no good reason, I really don't think so. Let me explain one other thing to everybody else here why I don't think Russia would have done that. Who do you think makes a lot of the Russian spare parts for their tanks, their missile systems, their guidance systems? Who do you think makes those spare parts? The Ukrainians. And as their systems are destroyed in Ukraine, they literally do not have a way to replace them. So again, who's going to be that stupid? Does Putin know that the Ukraine is number 22 on the global firepower ranking done each year out of 142 nations? Do you think Putin knew that? He'd be really, really stupid if he didn't.
Of course.
He had to have gone in there because he felt threatened, or people that wished to be a part of Russia felt threatened, but you've never heard any of that. Never heard any of it.
quick question on the VAERS system before we get you out of here in a few minutes, Roger. Have you been following numbers over there, and what are you seeing for numbers right now? Because apparently it comes out a lot of the data. People are having a hard time deciphering the data.
I do not trust VAERS at all.
Okay. I stopped looking
at VAERS a while back. VAERS is the first to tell you, they openly state this, that their numbers could be as little as, or representing as little as 10% of the actual, and they make it so tough for doctors to even do a VAERS report that most doctors blow them right off. So they're saying this could only be 10%. But if you dig into their published information deep enough, what you find out is they also say that some of them believe it could represent only 1%. If they're telling you 60, 70,000 people have died in the United States from SARS-CoV-2, okay, that's a serious overstatement. If they're telling you that only maybe 15,000 have died as a result of the vaccine reactions, could be 150,000, that could be 1.5 million. Even that, I would say, is a very low-balled number. I have no trust whatsoever in VAERS at all. VAERS is a system owned by the CDC and run by the CDC and the FDA. These are the same people who are still telling you, roll up your sleeve, these vaccines are good and they're effective. Guess what? No bigger lie has ever been told to humanity. So why the hell would anybody trust anything VAERS is saying when they're run by the two biggest traitors to humanity on the freaking planet? Why?
Seems to be that's the only thing that people talk about now is that. It's like, and I agree with what you're saying, Roger, that it's being grossly underreported. So where would somebody go if they really wanted to get good information, Roger?
Right now, I don't know of any place. Right now, what I find is that the easiest way to do this is...
Sorry, my daughter walked in. Sir, go ahead.
Oh, cool. The easiest way... The easiest way to even come up with any sort of a number is to do a lot of reading. I'm serious. Do a lot of reading, and not just from one site, from multiple sites. As I told you before, for me to be absolutely sure of something, I want at least three websites or three sources that are not connected in any fashion. Like I said, the part about HIV, people after the third shot, people are getting AIDS. Came from a doctor in Italy, came from a group of doctors in America, and from the UK government. None of those three are connected, and they probably didn't ever want to be connected, but they were all saying the same thing. This tells me that information has validity. VAERS is the biggest lie on the planet. End of story. Bye-bye.
Oh, how about obituaries? Roger, I hear groups that are following it and looking at the spike. That's public information they can't hide. Correct?
Yes. Yes.
And I know that's being looked at by a whole bunch of people. I was actually talking to a group that's studying it right now, and the obituaries are contradicting exactly what the government is saying, right to the
death
that they're seeing a huge spike.
Yes, and working-age people since the vaccines came out, working-age people have gone up by over 40%. Some say it could be as high as 60%. Deaths have gone up between 40 and 60% since the vaccines were put out. That can only happen if something, the same thing, is affecting everybody across the planet. Gee, anybody want to guess the only thing that's affecting everybody across the planet?
Go look at what the insurance companies are saying now, Roger.
Same thing.
You want to talk about that for a minute, and then I got to get you out of here.
I know, actually, because it's the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Not only that, but there are coroners, once they get prep a body where they drain all the blood and everything else like that, they're also now reporting that they're finding blood clots in the vaccinated that are as long as 2 to 3 feet long. Fibrous blood clots in the veins of the people who died that are 2 to 3 feet long. That's insane.
Go get your shots, folks. That's it, Roger. I'm moving to my cave. Hey, listen, time's up, but always a pleasure having you in. And I'll let you share a couple of
last words. At least you give me a platform.
I love having you in, Roger. And I know my audience loves listening to you. We love your rants, and we look forward to hearing again in a couple of weeks. And you can give us some more great information and some really good news that we need to hear.
I didn't hardly yell at all today.
What's next, Roger? What's next?
Did you notice I hardly yelled at all today? Do me a favor, anybody out there listening to this, if you want to be able to talk about this, because you can't do it on social media, can't do it on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, any of them, Instagram, go to tlbtalk.com. That is a system we set up, a social media platform that does allow you to talk. If you don't want to be in there socially, go in there and start a group with your friends where you can all discuss these issues openly with each other. Please, because that's the only place you're going to be able to do it.
Thanks again.
TLBTalk.com.
Thanks again, Roger, for coming in, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Sure, Barry, and thank you, Steve.
Okay, folks, I'll be back in 3 or 4 minutes with Mr. Chris Sky. He's got lots to talk about. Back in a few. Welcome back, second hour, folks. And it's a pleasure to be joined by Mr. Chris Skye here for the second hour. People listening to my show over the last couple, 3 years of last couple of years have heard Chris in here quite a few times chatting. True patriot in Canada and a real freedom fighter and a guy who's got more tenacity than most people in Canada. It's always good to have you in, Chris. And let's start off with your pet peeve of the week.
My pet peeve of the week?
Number one.
Well, this week my number one pet peeve was probably getting arrested and thrown in prison again.
Tell us about it. Tell us about it, Chris. What happened?
Well, it was the 20th arrest in the last 2 years. It was in Calgary. I had literally just got off a charge the day before because I was charged with breaching the 6-foot distance rule outside at a protest way back in like April of 2021. And it finally went to court this year, and they basically just withdrew the charges. Then while I was on tour in BC the last couple of weeks, we ended the tour in Calgary March 26th. And somebody's actually doing some kind of speech. Hold on, I got to try to run out of here. Give me 1 second.
Sure.
Hello. Sorry about that. So yeah, I was in Calgary on the 26th, and I heard about a new court injunction they had filed. So now, before, we were never allowed to protest around Canada. They were citing the so-called COVID pandemic, saying it wasn't safe for people to congregate. Now that there's no more social distancing rules, there's no more mask rules, there's no more capacity limit rules, they have no other excuse. But they still went ahead with an injunction filed by the city against every man, woman, and child in Calgary to prevent virtually all types of protesting. They made it illegal via court injunction to use a megaphone or a speaker system, honk a horn, or even try to march through the streets. They cited the same type of thing they did in Ottawa, saying that it was disrupting society, disrupting the businesses. But this wasn't an occupation. This was just an everyday, every Saturday protest of a few thousand people, peaceful, and within a few hours they would be dispersed and gone. But the city of Calgary filed an injunction to make this action illegal. And when I was in Calgary on the 26th, I did a speech at Prince's Island Park, and I found out there was another protest going on at the courthouse. Now, at the courthouse, there was a lot more people, so we decided to bring everybody over there. Apparently, walking was illegal, and carrying a megaphone was illegal. And before we could get over there, I was swarmed by the police and charged as a breach of the injunction for allegedly speaking a few words through a megaphone. And from there, I was brought to jail. And from jail, I was brought to prison because I had to wait until the following Monday to be able to go to bail and try to get bail from a judge. And then, of course, once in prison, because I'm not jabbed and I don't take a COVID test, they use that as an excuse to isolate me. So while other prisoners are in a jail cell and they get out a couple of times a day for about an hour each time, I was out of my cell for a total of about 12 minutes over 3 days. So when you're a freedom fighter and you get arrested, they treat you a little bit differently. Like Pastor Art just got out the day that I got out, and he had people like hired to beat him up in jail. They were like not giving him food. They were giving him an area that didn't even have a bed. Like they do cruel and unusual things behind closed doors when nobody could see. And people are going around asking, why are we still fighting? We're free now. Because they could take off a mask or they could go to a friggin' restaurant. And in BC, you still can't even do that. In BC, you guys still have a vaccine passport. And they're still walking around like they're free and asking why we're fighting. Well, as far as I know and as far as reality is concerned, we still have every federal mandate in place. You cannot leave the country. You cannot even leave your province unless you're vaccinated. The only way to leave your province right now is if you're in your own private vehicle. And then they got the gas prices so high, most people can't afford that either. So they're doing everything they can to isolate you, to target you, and to control you. And the next phase of that plan, that's right. And they have to pull back slightly because of the trucker convoy. We struck a blow there. We went against their brute force tactics, and we showed them that we still have some fight left in us. So all they have done is not try to change their goals. They just tried to change their tactics. They've switched from brute force to subterfuge. And they gave you a little tiny bit of freedom back. Oh, you could take your mask off now. Oh, and soon you'll be able to go to a gym or a restaurant without a vaccine passport. But that's it. That's just to make it so people think that things are getting better. And then they have the war in Ukraine, which has nothing to do with anything but to distract you from what's really going on. And what's really going on is, that's right. And what's really going on is they're trying to clamp down on us harder than ever before. They're just setting up all the chess pieces right behind us, right under our noses when we don't know what's going on. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about new laws being put in place. Laws like the little injunction that they just used to arrest me at a peaceful protest for literally speaking, allegedly. Laws like Bill C-11 that they want to regulate online speech. If you can't speak out online or in person, you're kind of screwed. People like me wouldn't even exist. And if people like me didn't exist, Canada would be in a far worse position, and so would the world. There's a reason why freedom of speech is the most fundamental freedom in the world, a fundamental right in the world. And that's why they want to take it away so bad. And if you try to use any of their platforms of speech, especially social media, they will censor you, they will ostracize you, they will fact-check you, they will ban you. And if they can get their digital ID in place, which is coming next, once you're banned from social media, you're never coming back. So I've been banned from social media like 15 times off of Instagram alone. Now, if you start using a digital ID, which they're going to do, it's going to be like everything else, just like the vaccine was. It's going to be voluntary at first. Oh, use it. Use it for when you travel. Use it for your license. Use it for work. Use it for your banking. Use it for your social media. It's just so much easier. And it's all free, and it's so convenient. And it just streamlines everything. And, of course, it's all voluntary.
Well, that sounds like a good idea.
But as soon as they get – yeah. And then we all know how voluntary works. As soon as they get 70% of the people to get voluntary, all of a sudden it's mandatory for everyone else.
Guess
and if you need to know what's going to happen after they have a digital identity mandatory, along with a digital currency and a digital vaccine passport, it means they control every single thing you do. Just like they froze they froze bank accounts of the trucker convoy people and people that even donated $20 to the trucker convoy, yeah. I got a taste of their new system, their new little social credit system, where they get to pick and choose who gets to do what. And I got it from RBC Royal Bank. And RBC Royal Bank is a World Economic Forum partner, everybody. And I was unaware of this fact when I started banking with them. And after I got out of jail, or sorry, prison on March 28th, I ended up going to an RBC bank in Calgary, and I only had my health card on me, and they didn't want to give me access to the account because I didn't have my other ID, which was my passport that I used to open the account, and it wasn't my home branch. So they told me they couldn't identify me. Ridiculous, I thought, but okay, that's fine. They told me just go and get my passport and come into the bank with it. So I did. Went home, got my passport, went to the bank with it. Gave them my passport, my health card, two other supplemental IDs, and guess what? They told me they still couldn't identify me. And this time, they actually called the RCMP on me for good measure, for trying to access my own bank account through their bank. So I got mad. I left, went home, called RBC customer service, complained, got a supervisor on the phone. The supervisor said they've resolved everything. Go to this branch in Edmonton, bring all your identifications, be ready to answer all the questions, and you'll be good to go. So I went to this other bank with my wife. I actually started tape recording and video recording the entire encounter. And I went in there. I showed them my passport that I used to open the account, my health card, two other supplemental identification cards. I brought my wife with our marriage license, with her U.S. passport, as she's a U.S. citizen, with her Canadian driver's license. And then I had my lawyer on the phone ready to verify my identity. I gave him the cell phone number on file, which is the number we're talking on right now. Told him to call it. It would ring. I used the email that they had on file, accessed it, even accessed my e-statements for that account from that email. And even after all that, they tried telling me they couldn't verify my identity, so I couldn't have access to my account, nor could I even try to close my account, because obviously they can't get me close on the account when they can't verify my ID. And then for good measure, this bank manager told me, "This seems kind of ridiculous, so I want to help you." So she's like, "If you wait here, I'm going to call the fraud department." So she took my ID and disappeared into our back room, asking my wife and I to wait. And this is all on video. And then instead of calling the fraud department, she called the Edmonton police. And the police came there and asked me why I was trying to cause a disturbance, trying to set up a precedent to arrest me. Yeah. And I said, excuse me, the only reason I'm here is because she asked us to stay. She came back out, she had all my IDs, and she gave me a snide look and we left. And to this day, even after speaking with my home branch, I still do not have access to my Royal Bank account. And I cannot access any of the funds in there, cannot close the account, cannot do anything with it. And this is before a digital identity goes in place, and this is before a Chinese-style social credit system is fully implemented in this country. And if you want an idea of how easy it is to block your accounts, they're doing it virtually every day in places like England already. I have a lot of friends in the UK, and they're telling me they can go to the grocery store, and their checkout bill can be about £40, and they'll go and try to tap their bank card for it, and it will say declined. And then they'll get a message on their phone that asks them to enter a PIN number into the text message to verify it's them using their card. They want to make every transaction so onerous, such a pain in the ass for you, that you have no choice but to go for the digital ID. So that way they can just have it on your phone or right inside your hand like they do in Sweden already. In Sweden, they actually have the microchips in people's hand. And that's what you use to pay. That's what you use to start your car, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what they want for all of us. They want us tagged and tracked like actual animals. And they're going to do it.
Yep, the RFID chip is going to be the real big push coming forward. I believe that we could see a monetary collapse very, very near future. I believe the RFID chip is going to be a big part of that. That will be the new convenient thing to do, to have a little chip in your hand, and you can go to the bank, you can go to the store, you can open your door, you can drive your car, you can do anything in the world. All you need is that little chip in your wrist, and people are going to gobble it up, Chris. Digital, if
that, no, they
if
are.
If we go to digital, Chris, we're done. We will have.
Well, that, as soon as the people embrace the digital identity, everything that you just said about the microchip in the hand will be a microchip in the phone, and people will be scanning their phones everywhere they go. And then to get people from scanning their phones to scanning themselves is a lot easier than get people from going to analog to digital like we're trying to do now. So this is where we have to draw the line. People have to realize that just like the vaccine, as soon as they just say no, they cannot enforce their agenda. If they can only convince, coerce, whatever they have to do, and only get only 50% of the population to take a vaccine, or only 50% of the population to use digital ID, surprise, they can't mandate it. Surprise, they can't use it for restrictions on the rest of society. The same applies to masks. And the way to beat this is very simple. Listen very carefully. You waited for 2 years to get permission to take your masks off and start living your life again. They finally gave it to you. So now you have no excuse. Make a pledge to yourself to take off that mask and never put it back on again. Make a pledge to yourself that you already did your part with your two vaccines and you're not going to take any more because they told you it's what's best for society. From now on, you're going to start making decisions on what's best for you, your family, and the future of your country. Because make no mistake, when September and October roll around again, they are going to tell you that you're going to have to put the mask back on. They're going to tell you to take another vaccine. They're going to tell you to re-embrace the vaccine passports and all the restrictions. Only this time, they're going to make them permanently in place. And they know if they can get you to comply again, then they've got you. So all you need to do is simply not put on a mask, not take a jab, and not close your business this fall when they inevitably try to force you. And they're going to use lots of coercive methods. There's a reason I'm coming back to Vancouver, everybody, and we're coming back with a vengeance. We're coming back with convoys leaving from parts of Alberta, parts of BC, and we're converging on Vancouver for the April the 10th. And why are we coming, Barry?
Boy, I want to come, Chris. I want to come. Bill Gates, all the boys are going to be there.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's a TED Talk.
Pass the hat around today, guys. I want to go on this convoy with Chris and the boys, so pass the hat around.
Do it, because I'm telling you, this is the most important. This is going to be one of the most important events we've ever done. Bill Gates is headlining the TED Talk. If everyone doesn't know what a TED Talk is, it's a minimum $5,000 to $250,000 a head ticket for this TED Talk. And what are they going to be talking about? Well, we got Bill Gates. We got Al Gore. So let me tell you what they're going to be talking about. Yeah, well, Elon Musk is going to be talking about his technologies and stuff. But Bill Gates is going to be telling everybody the pandemic isn't over. He's going to be telling everybody we need to give up even more authority to our global government overlords at the WHO. In fact, he's going to talk about the new WHO, what they're dubbing Global Constitution Pandemic. And this document takes precedence over every governing document on the planet for any country that signs on to this treaty. And 100 of the world's countries, including Canada, have already signed on to this treaty. So the next time they declare a pandemic, which hint, hint, is going to be this fall, ladies and gentlemen, the government of Canada can now say, we have no more authority. It's all in the hands of the WHO. So if you thought you had no accountability with people like Bonnie Henry now, just imagine what it's going to be like when Bonnie Henry tells you, well, it's not up to me. It's up to this person and this person from the WHO who happened to be in Malaysia this week. What are you going to get? You get absolutely nothing. Then Bill Gates is going to sell you on fear. He's going to tell you that we need to give up all this authority because so many people are going to die, especially your children. And then he's going to do what he does best. He's the number one vaccine salesman in the world. So he's going to try to sell you all on a brand new vaccine. And remember me, Chris Sky, told you this. They're going to tell you they got a new vaccine, and it's safer, more effective, works on the variants. And it doesn't matter which vaccines you've already taken or not taken. It's safe for you to start using this. And because it's such a superior vaccine, you're only going to need one shot every year and a booster every year after. So they're going to try to sell it like a new flu shot. And they're going to put a massive campaign together starting now. So by the time the fall comes around, they want to inoculate at least 70% of us with this brand new poison so they can start everything they've already started all over again, only this time, keep it going permanently. If you think it's a joke, if you think that Trudeau has any inclinations for getting rid of his mandates, go look at the Liberal Party website, the official Liberal website. Go look at Trudeau's election platform. The number one thing in his election platform is to keep all the federal mandates, travel, federal work, and all the corporations that are linked to the federal government in some way now mandate vaccines for their employees. That means every federal job, every airline, every bank, every insurance company, all these other gigantic corporations, millions and millions and millions of jobs just in Canada alone, will be mandating the vaccine. And the travel mandates are meant to never go away. So they mean to keep you as a prisoner in Canada indefinitely for the rest of your life until you either fight back or you give in and start taking their shots as many as they tell you, as often as they tell you.
You know, Chris, the biggest problem we have in society right now is people's level of information that they're actually getting about what is actually going on behind the scenes with all these agendas that are being played out on society. People do not get that information at all. I find that to be one of the biggest problems we have, especially in light of the Pfizer data dumps that just came out. I mean, if everybody in this planet right now had access to that information, Chris, and they read the 9 papers or reports from Pfizer, do you think anybody would ever stick another jab in their body? Do you think that anybody
Absolutely not.
Well, it's being held back.
And that's why they spend. That's why they spend so many resources to try to suppress and control information. And that's why one of my main action points, because everybody knows United Noncompliance, my solution, which is non-political, by the way, has 3 phases. The first phase is the global awakening. Make everybody aware of what's going on. We've passed that. Now we're in phase 2, taking action. And everybody can take action in different ways to try to get our freedoms back. But the basic action that every single person needs to take when fighting for freedom is to simply say no. If they tell you, take this vaccine or lose your job, you say no. They say, take this vaccine or you can't go travel, you say no. No matter what they tell you, you just say no. That is each individual person's fight for freedom. They don't have to go out and get arrested 20 times like I did and get thrown in prison and thrown in jail. No, they just have to stand up for themselves. And when you do that, the agenda cannot move forward. The agenda stops in its tracks. And that's what they don't want you to know. They don't want you to know that we have the power to do this.
If everybody did that, Chris, if everybody stood up tomorrow and said no, it would come to a grinding halt. But unfortunately,
100%.
but we still have a good percentage of society, unfortunately, that are just going along to get along. And you know what? I honestly believe that a lot of people, sure, they may have heard about a few things wrong with the jibby jabs, but they don't have any idea of actually what's going on around the planet now, especially with the cases of AIDS. And we talked about that in the last hour, Chris. And I don't know if you've looked into what is actually going on with AIDS and what Stanford University found in the injections.
They found in the for your viewers that didn't see or hear about it, in the injections, they found, since one of the first vaccines came out way back in Australia, they find fragments of the HIV virus to create the so-called spike proteins in the jabs. And one of the first vaccines that was ever used in Australia had to be taken off the market because people were testing positive for HIV after using it. In fact, the guy who discovered HIV, Luc Montagnier, who won a Nobel Prize for it, in fact, told everybody that the shots that you're taking are going to give you vaccine-induced HIV. And what he meant by that is that every single vaccine you take is going to lower your natural white blood cell count, which is your natural immunity. And he postulated that after three shots, virtually everybody will have such a low white blood cell count that they will be susceptible to the same things that an HIV patient is and could even test positive for the virus. And as we know, like at the same time that this information was coming out, the UN AIDS Foundation, which is the largest HIV foundation in the world, which is headed, funded by the World Bank and the WHO, did a press release on February 7th of this year stating that they found a new variant of HIV that's far more virulent than ever before. And they don't know why it took them until November 2021 to find it, right after everybody started getting vaccinated against COVID. But they didn't really have an excuse for it. So now they want to do a whole worldwide HIV testing campaign. And if you go and you test positive for HIV, it's not like testing positive for COVID and you get a 2-week diagnosis and then you're back to normal. No, you get a designation of HIV positive for life. And now there are so many more ways to restrict you and track you and force medicate you for the rest of your life. And this is a state that people are inducing on themselves. And like you said, the best way to inform the public is by getting information out. That's why one of the ways I took action, and I told people about this for months, was I was partnering with a social media platform that promised to bring a true free speech environment to the world. No fact checkers, no banning, no deleting comments, none of that garbage. If you want to debate somebody what they have to say, you can debate it. And the platform is available on my website at realchrissky.com. And everybody that wants to know what they can do, how they can take action, well, this is the easiest way to take action. You download that. You download the software. It's called Friend EVU, and you get as many of your friends on there as possible. It's exactly like Facebook. So if you use Facebook, you could use this. Only you could say what you want here and not worry about getting banned. You can amass thousands and thousands of followers without worrying about losing them. And you can chat freely and express yourself with people all around the world. So this is what I'm trying to do, is to help preserve free speech for the people. Because if we can preserve free speech in the short and long term, then we can fight to get the rest of our freedoms back. And once we finish getting our freedoms back, we can move on to phase three of United Noncompliance, which is holding these people accountable. And this is the most important part, because if we just focus on getting back our fundamental freedoms that we should have never lost in the first place, then we leave ourselves open for this happening again and again and again and again. So we need to make our focus on not just getting our freedoms back, but getting our freedoms back and then making examples out of these fake leaders, these distorted public health so-called officials, and all the rest of the people that are complicit in crimes against humanity and damaging the lives of billions and billions of people knowingly. These people need to be put on trial. These people need to be punished. And safeguards need to be put into law to ensure this can never happen again. And to ensure that this happens, we're not stopping in Vancouver. In fact, there's an even bigger convoy than the original convoy heading back to Ottawa for April 29th and April 30th. And this convoy isn't just going to have the truckers and loggers and tradesmen and freedom fighters. We got a new season coming up. We got sunshine coming. So we're going to have all those wonderful boys and girls riding their bikes.
I've heard chatter about it already, Chris.
Oh, they're coming. They are coming. They are coming. Enough is enough. The people have finally stood up for themselves. The only reason the government even had a little semblance of control in Ottawa was because, A, it was minus 20 and you couldn't even feel your face, and B, there was too many people that stood by and literally watched or just filmed as their friends were absolutely bludgeoned with blunt force trauma weapons and did nothing to prevent it or protect themselves, simply because the assailants were wearing some type of government-inspired uniform. Yep. That's absolutely disgusting.
It was.
Violence is violence, whoever is perpetrating it. And if somebody is committing violence against you, your friends, or your loved ones, you are obligated by God to defend those people who cannot defend themselves. So I think it's going to be a very different vibe in Ottawa this time. I think we got a much better plan. Last time, everyone in there flying the Canadian flag. That was the biggest mistake. Because flying the Canadian flag is saying that we abide by their laws. We abide by their mandates. We're abiding by their rules. We need to go in there as a force, and a force that needs to be bargained with. So we need to go in there under the white flag of parley. And if they come with armed thugs and attack peaceful, loving protesters waving white flags, then it's up to the duty of the Canadian and international armed forces to step in and remove Trudeau and his corrupt criminal government. And I know that sounds a little bit far-fetched, but if you have been paying attention, the international community is with us. The international community did not mince words when they said that Trudeau was a disgrace to democracy, when they called him a dictator, when they said he shouldn't even be allowed a spot in the European Parliament. These are our biggest allies around the world, and they are just as ashamed and upset with our prime minister as Canadians are, if not more. He is not just an embarrassment to Canada, he is an embarrassment to the entire world. And he's not backing down because nobody has made him yet. But guess what? I know Trudeau, and he doesn't have a spine. You know what he has? He's got strings holding him up. His spine doesn't even hold him up. His little puppet strings attached to every part of his body being fumbled around with by Klaus Schwab and his cronies are the ones that control Trudeau. So what we need to do is, it's the truth, and we need to show up in Ottawa with a force of people, millions and millions strong. And we need to come there and we need to have a festival of love and unity and fun. So everybody doesn't just want to be there to help Canada. We want it to be such a good time that people go there like a vacation. We want people to be like, I want to go to Ottawa this weekend and it's going to be fun. Not because they feel like they're obligated to go there and fight for their country. But they will be. They will be. But at the same time, we want it to be an enjoyable experience for everybody, families included, children included. And the only way it could be an unsafe experience is if the government decides to use violence. And in that case, the people will be obligated to look after each other like we always have been.
Yep.
Because I'm telling you this, we can't go through summer. We cannot go through this summer just enjoying our time and enjoying our short-lived freedom, so-called, only to get the rug pulled out from under us and fall and be completely disheveled and completely disorganized. We need to keep this momentum up. We need to keep our numbers growing. We need to keep the awareness growing, and we need to keep pushing for accountability with our elected officials.
You're going to see anywhere between 15 to 40,000 bikes show up in Ottawa. Those are the numbers I've been hearing from people that are involved with biker organizations. A few of them I know, and they're already talking about this, Chris, right now. So,
and that's what we need. We need people that are going to help the people feel safe. And I guarantee you, when the average person, when the average Canadian protester sees a line of motorcycles and leather jackets standing beside them, they're going to feel a lot safer when they're looking at a whole bunch of armed thugs in helmets with batons ready to beat them up.
Yeah, it could be fire, but in the same mouthful, it's necessary, Chris. It really is, because watching that lady,
you're dealing with a schoolyard bully on a grand scale. So if you sit there and you let the schoolyard bully beat up you and your friends with a stick, and all you do is sit there and film it with a cell phone and go tell everybody, that same thing is going to happen every time. The bully's going to come. The bully's going to beat you up. You're going to whine like a little baby, and no one's going to give a shit. And every time they're going to take more and more from you.
Watch your
language. Sorry. No, I'm sorry about that. Nobody's going to care.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree with you, Chris. I just hope it doesn't. You know, there's a lot of different aspects that we can look at this. I understand what you're saying, and I absolutely agree with you. It's come to a point now where we have to make a very, very loud statement to this government. But I'm just worried about possible government guys getting in there dressed as bikers and doing something very serious to discredit the whole organization. That's always my concern.
Everyone's got to be aware that they're going to do that regardless. Look what happened last time. They found one Nazi flag that was probably planted there by Trudeau, which was photographed by Trudeau's photographer, and that's all you saw on the news, calling everybody Nazis.
Yeah.
So, they're not going to be able to get away with that. People have finally woken up to the lies of the government when it comes to Canadians in the protests. There was enough people on the ground that saw what really happened, millions of them, and they came home with their first-hand knowledge stories. So now, virtually everybody in the country knows exactly what happened in Ottawa. It was the most peaceful, loving protest in the history of the world, one of the largest protests in the history of the world, especially per capita for the amount of people we have in this country. And the only way our prime minister knew how to deal with it was to cite an emergency and hire a whole bunch of mercenaries to come and beat up his own citizens. And if he thinks that strategy is going to work a second time, he's got another thing coming.
The best thing that I saw this week, Chris, was him getting lambasted in the EU by that German MP. And that's gone viral around the world. I mean, just to call him out like that, that was my highlight of the week, my friend.
What do you think will happen if he does an Ottawa Part 2 and tries to declare another emergency and tries to send thousands of troops for a peaceful protest and tries to beat up Canadians? He'll be done. He'll be done politically. He'll be done politically, both here and internationally. He won't be able to show his face anywhere.
Yeah.
Pardon?
He's got complete control of the country right now. You got the coalition of the NDPs and Liberals working together. We got a problem there, Chris. How do we get these guys out of there?
That's why United Noncompliance isn't political, Barry. Because if we have to count on a politician to save us, we already have our gooses cooked. You're never going to vote your way out of tyranny. Not one politician that's working in any one of these parties or non-parties is the reason we got any of our freedoms back. But every single politician is the reason that we lost all of our freedoms. So everyone has to remember that. Not one politician is responsible for us getting our freedoms back. The only reason we got our freedoms back is because people like me went around and told you, we're not your saviors. They are not your saviors. But if you listen to us, you'll be able to save yourself. That's the only way we're getting out of this. If people come together, just say no to these mandates, and save each other, one family at a time.
You know, and I know, Chris, that what you said about later on this year after summer's over, they've already gone through phase one of finding out how Canadians are going to react when a little bit of fear is put into their hearts and they all ran to their houses and hid. They're going to come back at us even harder because they know how society is going to react. They've done the test run already. So we have to put a stop to this. We have to get people aware of what they're going to be doing to us in the very near future. If you think these things have gone away for good, folks, you've really got your head in the sand. It's just a little breath of fresh air.
If they wanted them to go away for good, there would be no masks anywhere. There'd be no vaccine passports anywhere. The reason they still want vaccine passports in as many places as possible, and the reason they still mandate masks in certain situations, is because you're going to go through your summer not wearing it, but every single day you're still going to see people wearing it. So then when fall comes around and they remandate it, they know you're going to put it back on like you never took it off for even one goddamn day. Exactly. And that's what's got to change. That's why I told everyone to make a pledge to themselves now that they will never put the mask back on. It's very simple. The mask is not, it's just a mask. The mask is the basis for every other restriction on you and your family. And if you think the mask does not harm children, I was in Vancouver a couple of weeks ago, and I got to see the trauma manifest in two different children in two different ways. And the reason it happened was because grown men, and I use that word very lightly, walk around terrified with a friggin' diaper on their face. I was on the ferry to Vancouver Island, and I ran into a mother, and her son was wearing a mask. And I was going to say, why the hell is your son wearing a mask when there's no mask mandate on the ferry? But she came over to me and started crying as soon as she saw me, saying she was a big fan of mine. So I asked her, why is your son wearing a mask? And she said, watch this. And when she went to pull the mask off his little face, he started kicking, screaming, shrieking, and hysterically crying, thinking he's going to die because he spent the last 2 years seeing muscle-bound so-called men walk around with these things on his face. And he thought, well, if these men are wearing them, then I'm going to die if I don't wear mine. And he legitimately believed that. So he is now traumatized to the point where he will not take off a mask in public. Then another mother came up to me at my event in Nelson, and she said, you saved my daughter's life. I said, how did I do that? Said, well, my daughter was 10 when this started. She's 12 now. They put the mask on her at school, and they wouldn't let her take it off no matter what. She had panic attack, blackout periods, etc. I'm like, okay. So that's what happened. The little girl tried to kill herself at school. They found her body unresponsive. Guess what the principal did? He sent the little girl home with a note to the mom saying, it doesn't matter that she tried to kill herself. Your daughter is not special. She still has to wear a mask. Finally, that was the final straw for the mother who employed the tactics that I've shown to countless parents to get their kids mask-free in school. And now that little girl is finally mask-free in her school and not suicidal anymore. But this is what they will do to your children. And this is what you are doing to other people's children when you put that mask on your face and you lie to yourself and say, oh, it's just a mask, because you don't have the balls to stand up to somebody when you walk into a grocery store who says, why aren't you wearing a mask? So that's what fighting for freedom means. It means doing what you know is right and dealing with confrontation, even embracing confrontation, because you're going to expect confrontation when you're doing the right thing in a society full of people lying and doing the wrong thing. And if that's too much for you, then you do not deserve to be a Canadian citizen. I'm sorry. Because your one responsibility as a Canadian, whether you're a parent or not, as an adult, is to leave this country in a better state for the next generation to be more successful and have a more freedom and better life than you did. Not for you to run and hide and make as many selfish choices as possible to try to lessen the impact of COVID on your personal existence while selling out the rest of your society. Because that's all I hear from people. Oh, I got the job because I needed to go visit my grandmother in another country. Oh, I got the job because I needed to go to the gym. Oh, I got the jab because I didn't want to have to get another job. All of those are personal, selfish excuses for why you chose not to fight for your freedoms that other people fought and bled and died for. And you giving up because of a selfish, pathetic excuse like you want to go travel momentarily. Let that sink in, ladies and gentlemen.
Our legacy is what we leave behind, Chris. And that what you just said is absolutely spot on, that we can't look in the mirror right now and say to ourselves that our children are going to enjoy the same country that you and me got to grow up in. None of us can say that right now. So that being said, it's not something that you should do. It's something that it's your duty right now, that we know this is happening in our country. We know what the end results. Even people that aren't smart know that something very nefarious is going on, but a lot of them, they don't care. But it's your duty right now to stand up to this. There's nothing more important in our lives right now. Like you said, Chris, leaving this the way we kind of came in. I remember my childhood, brother, and Canada was a great place to grow up. And now it is really changed, and it hasn't changed for the better. We got to put a stop to it. Period. We have no choice.
We got to put a stop to it, because if we don't, it's only going to get worse, and worse in a way that it's going to get to a point where we are not going to be able to change course. We are at that crossroads right now that if we do nothing, If all good people do nothing, evil will succeed, and we will end up in a country where it will be a nightmare, worse than any dystopian movie or novel you've ever consumed in your lifetime. Or we can do what's right. We can reject the mandates. We can stand up for ourselves. We can stand up for our country, and we can create a brand new Canada where people have had more than they've ever had for less than they've ever had to pay in their entire existence. And we can set an example of this freedom and abundance for the rest of the world. We can literally create a golden era in society. These so-called elites have provided us the means to do so by creating such a bad situation that people are now aware that there's a group trying to control everybody. And they've created this situation where they've woken up so many warriors who just wanted to be left alone. I don't want to be gone here fighting for freedom every day. I don't want to be getting arrested. I don't want to have to be touring around the country saying essentially the same thing to different people until they understand what's going on. I loved my life before COVID, and I want it back. I want to be able to bring a child into this world with the confidence that they're going to be able to provide for their own family one day. And I don't have that confidence right now. Not at all. And if you do, you're lying to yourself. So the first thing Canadians have to do is start being honest with themselves. And the number one honest thing is, the only reason this is happening is Canadians have been weak, Canadians have been complicit, and Canadians have been in denial that it's their responsibility to do something. And the reality of the situation is, the only way this is possible is because of that. If Canadians stood up for themselves like Floridians and Texans, we could have a free society. We could have a society that looks after and protects our children rather than try to subjugate them and serve them up to pedophiles on a silver platter.
Or ladies stick and them gentlemen, full of poison.
Yeah, and stick them while sticking them full of poison over and over. Literally every single thing they told you to do to your children in these last 2 years, from hand sanitizer that was so toxic they had to recall 50 brands, to COVID test kits that put ethylene oxide, the most cancer-causing chemical in the world, up your child's nose, as well as the dangerous toxins in the testing liquid that cause a myriad of symptoms, including death. Right down to these so-called gene therapy vaccines that have done nothing but make more and more people sick around the world than COVID could have ever dreamed of.
And the numbers are going up astronomically. They're not going to be able to hide the bodies forever, Chris. The information is now coming out. Every country is reporting. All people have to do right now really is go do a little research. And some of the stuff you're going to find is just absolutely going to blow your mind. Insurance companies, obituaries, Chris, they're all reporting tremendous spikes in deaths. But you'll never hear that.
And if people don't understand how insurance companies work, Barry's 100% right. Insurance companies, especially life insurance companies, they do deaths by age group. And every single age group in the insurance life insurance game has seen a huge spike in deaths to the point where the German life insurance companies have now postulated that one in five people who receive a COVID vaccine have to seek medical attention for a severe enough adverse reaction that it brought them to their doctor. So we're not talking about redness or swelling or headache or dizziness or fatigue. We're talking like seizures, Bell's palsy, heart problems, lung problems, myocarditis, seizures and strokes.
Off the scale.
Exactly. Exactly. Every single celebrity that you see dying, every single celebrity that's having issues, they were all jabbed. Justin Bieber was supposed to go on his tour. Him and his wife, he got jabbed. And guess what? His tour got postponed because he got COVID. So the jab didn't work for him. And his wife, who's 26 years old, ended up in the hospital with a blood clot in her brain after a stroke. Because, you know, 26-year-old, super healthy, wealthy kids have strokes all the time. Now, Bruce Willis had to retire from acting. Bruce Willis just had to retire from acting because he got brain aphasia, which is a brain disorder that comes on after a stroke. And I talked to multiple people whose relatives had the exact same condition develop shortly after their vaccination. And he worked on 15 films in the last 2 years. So it's pretty safe to assume that he was fully, fully vaccinated because he couldn't work in Hollywood without it. So all these people, Bob Saget, vaccinated. Taylor Hawkins of the Foo Fighters, vaccinated. Betty White, yes, she was old, but she was vaccinated right before she died. This is not all coincidence, ladies and gentlemen. And if you look in the sports, you're going to see more myocarditis and heart conditions than ever before. I'm getting young people that come to my protest that have never been to the protest before in their life. And the only reason they're coming to the protest now is because they're the latest vaccine damage victims.
Yep.
There you go.
The numbers are
right. And if you're a parent, how are you going to live with yourself if you damage your children with a vaccine for life?
Well, I'm not going to talk about it long, but I know somebody personally now that has had that situation, Chris. They went and got a booster. Now they've got what they diagnosed as a severe case of myocarditis. I cross-referenced that with information I found about myocarditis, and he's got approximately 2 to 5 years to live, and he did it. And he went and did this, and I talked to him and talked to him about it, Chris. He went ahead and did this, and now he's got 2 to 5 years to live in his life. I'm seeing it everywhere right now, friends. I had a friend die in Prince Rupert. From 5 days after a booster, dropped dead from a heart attack. Tell me it's a coincidence, Chris. I'm seeing it everywhere.
Oh, absolutely. I hear that every day. And it's people in their 30s and 40s. It's not people in their 70s and 80s. So it's really, really, really terrifying. And they can only lie to people for so long. That's the problem. Everybody, even people that died literally within 48 hours after their vaccine, the doctors are still disregarding the vaccine had anything to do with their deaths. And that's like the main thing going around. Just like every doctor is going to tell you to get the COVID vaccine, if you get it and something happens to you, they're going to tell you it had nothing to do with the vaccine. And so reality, the amount of reported reactions is not even 1% of the actuality. So take all the numbers that they're giving you and multiply each one by at least 100, and you won't even be close to the true nature of this of the damage being caused.
You're not the only one reporting those kind of numbers. I'm seeing those kind of numbers everywhere, and I'm getting it from people that have done a lot of research into it and the VAERS system and everything else that's being underreported. We know that's going on because if they actually reported the numbers to society and society really knew what was going on right now, there would be a public outcry. But here we are with something that's killing thousands and thousands of people. It's still being administrated. It's still being – every day I turn on the radio – and I got to listen to the mainstream media just for 15 minutes to hear what they're saying. And I can't listen to 15 minutes of mainstream without them telling us to go get your children vaccinated, Chris. This is absolute insanity. You know, and I know, and you know the numbers for children. It's absolutely almost non-existent beyond anything that we should ever consider as a threat to children. And here they are vaccinating our kids. Somebody's got to pay for this, Chris. Somebody's got to pay for this. Go ahead.
A lot of people got to pay for this. There needs to be lineups of people getting arrested that were all complicit in these crimes against humanity. And every single corporation, like these drug manufacturers that made trillions of dollars, need to be reprimanded. And we need to give hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars back to these countries to get things like free interest, no interest free business loans, to get our 35% of businesses we lost back up and running. We need to kill all these mandates so we can get the millions of Canadians back to work. We need to get these public health officials and these corrupt politicians out of positions of power once and for all and draft legislation in their stead that makes it impossible for this to ever happen again. It's that simple. That is all we need to do. And when we do it, we will have the country we deserve. And if we don't do it, we will still have the country we deserve, which is the tyrannical piece of shit country they're trying to make. I'm sorry, I got so mad. So sorry. I'm so sorry.
I'm so frustrated with
Canadians right now. I have never been more frustrated with my country. It's seeing the kids still wearing the masks after the mandates is what did it for me. When I went to the mall,
Chris.
That's right. They're abusing the children.
Yeah. Poor little innocent children. They're looking forward to a normal life. And we're allowing this stuff to be put into their bodies, Chris. It tears me
apart. And these kids cry every single day. They cry. I see them. I see them cry to their parents. Their parents cry to me. And all the kids keep saying is, we just want to have our lives back. We just want to take the mask off. I just want to see my friends. And their parents don't have the gumption. They don't have the drive. They don't have the strength to stand up for their own children and do what they know is right. And it's heartbreaking. It is. It's heartbreaking. I went to Aberdeen Mall just outside of Vancouver in Richmond, BC, and 99.9% of the people in there were still wearing masks. I saw a child that must have been 18 months old. It couldn't even walk, and the parents had put a mask on it. And this is after the mandates had ended. How do you expect to have a society that will value and fight for freedom when they go so far out of their way to punish themselves and punish their own children?
Unbelievable. That just blows my mind that that many people. I mean, I'm still seeing people walk around with a mask on, but I would say it's only maybe 10 or 15% of the population now are actually still wearing it.
Yeah.
But to hear those kind of numbers in a mall, that's kind of shocking, Chris. It really is. But you know,
it was terrifying. I lasted in there 5 minutes. It was like psychological trauma on me because I didn't realize the effect it would have on me to see that. Because it's one thing to see all the people wearing it when the mandates are up. You're like, okay, these people are stupid and these people are weak and they're just going along with the herd. But when the mandates are off and the people are still willingly going along as slaves and still willingly punishing their children who are literally just crying and yearning to be free, then it shows a very fundamental problem in the hearts of many members of society. And that's why we are still fighting. That's why we are fighting every single day. I am in a new town, in a new place, talking to more people to try to make people aware of what is really going on and what we need to do to prevent it from going any further. Because it's getting to the point where our children are never going to be the same again. And nobody's going to have anybody to blame but themselves.
I agree, Chris. We've got a monumental task ahead of us right now. It seems like we're up against the wall in the same mouthful. We're starting to see a major change in society where a lot of people are really starting to get it. And it's because of people like you and other people that are dedicating their lives right now to try and save this country, because that's what we're fighting for. Canada's never had an enemy inside the gates before. And it's really hard for our society to accept the fact that the enemy is inside the gates and the enemy is bent on destroying this country. And they're going at it light speed right now. If we don't stop it, we will lose the country.
To be honest, I thought that way in like 2020. It was that people still just had too much trust for their government. But at this point, Barry, it's not even that anymore. At this point, Barry, the Canadians are full well aware that the government is the enemy. They're fully aware that the government is trying to take away their rights and freedoms. At this point, they're just lying to themselves and making any rationalization and justification because they don't have the ability, they don't have the means to fight back in their minds and their hearts.
I don't get that.
And that's what's got to change.
That at all, Chris. How can anybody that can see what's coming for this country, loves their children, everybody says, well, we love our children, we want the best for our children in the future. How can anybody that sees this coming sit back and not do anything about it? That's beyond my realm of confrontation.
Because you're not a creature controlled by fear, Barry. But you and me and people like us, we're the minority. The vast majority of men, women, and children can be fully controlled and fully manipulated through fear. And right now, the fear of the government is a far more driving to them than the fear of their children losing their future. But it's immediate, it's in their face, and it has consequences right now. And that's what the government and the state have been counting on. Singling people out, making examples of people to keep that level of fear so high in the general population while telling them that tolerance is the number one virtue. Putting up with something that you know is wrong, that's the definition of tolerance. And that's what Canadians pride themselves on, being the most tolerant people in the world. That just means you're the most easy to take advantage and you won't do anything about it. And until that changes, until that attitude changes in Canadians, and it started to change with the trucker convoy, and we need to finish that transition, they are never going to get out of this. And yes, my words are harsh. Yes, my words are designed to provoke emotional response, and there's a reason for that. Because every single Canadian is at fault right here, and every single Canadian needs to become a little bit stronger if we're going to get through this. But yeah, Barry, I'm going to have to run on you.
Okay, brother, no problem. Thanks, Chris, for coming in. Always a pleasure talking with you.
I love you. Please, guys, go to my website, realchrissky.com, realchrissky.com. Click join, get on friend of you, add me at the same name, and get your friends on there. We're going to have a massive ad campaign coming out for this platform. We're going to get millions and millions of people from around the world on it, and it's going to be freedom fighters, critical thinkers, and people that you're going to want to be talking to in your circle. Thank you, Barry. I love you, brother. And hopefully I'll see you in Vancouver.
If not, I have a fishing boat waiting for you, Chris. So we'll see you.
I'll be there soon, one way or the other, my friend.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye for now. Okay, folks, I'll be back in 5 minutes with Ron Stevens. I did have Kellyanne Wolf coming in, but she's sicker than a dog. So Ron's been gracious enough to fill in for Kelly. Back in 5 minutes. Back third hour, folks, and thanks to Chris for coming in. Always good talking with you. Originally, I had Kellyanne Wolf was going to come in and chat about what farmers are doing across the country right now and the alliance that's being formed. Kelly got really sick and I was talking today and she sounded like she was dying. So I was gracious enough to give Ron Stevens a call and Ron was gracious enough to join me for an hour to fill in. He's not a fill-in, but I didn't have him scheduled this week, but he's joined me for an hour for a bit of a chat with what's going on in Canada. Always good to have you in, Ron, and welcome.
Well, I can't say how proud I am of you right now, Barry. You've kicked it up, and you're having the meetings in your town and that, and you're waking the people up in your town, and that is all 100% good.
Well, it's just not me. There's other people that are involved, but we do see a certain group that are really starting to push it in town here.
Yes, but every town in the country needs to be doing that.
Yeah, we're really starting to see people embrace the idea of fixing things at home and letting that go right through the whole country. And of course, we're talking about taking back control at local levels. And that ideology now is really being embraced by our community. I think we're going to see a lot of people go after council seats in the next election in about 4 months.
I was just talking to a guy, I went to get a coffee, and I was going out the door, and this guy with a Freedom Fighter shirt on was coming in, and we had a chat, and told him that, this Freedom Fighter thing's okay, but we got to take it up a pace. And we have to get a hold of the council. And he absolutely 100% agreed. that that's what we got to do. We got to get our people educated and take control. Because
how do you like our dictatorship in Canada now, Ron? Isn't that cool? Huh? What the Liberals and the NDP have done? Dictatorships, man.
You know, if you look up oligarchy, we don't have a government, and nor does the United States, because if we had a government, when they pass something through legislature, they would ask for the consent of the people. But they don't. They just pass any damn thing they want without the consent of the people. And that's an oligarchy, right? They just do whatever they want.
Well, they've been doing that for a long time, right?
Well, they've been doing that for since the beginning. And we have to take back what is ours. You know, we live on this country. We built everything in the country, meaning it's our country, not the politicians' country. They don't have the authority to do what they're doing, which is taking us down. And we're going to it's going to be a beautiful thing, because we're going to win this. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, why is our countries, both America and Canada, attached to the UN? Why were we attached to the League of Nations? Why are we attached to the World Economic Forum? None of those things have anything to do with our countries, yet they're pushing all those agendas into our countries, which makes every level of government, right down to your local municipality, criminals, because they're harming our people. And they can't do that.
Well, you know, the United Nations has got their tentacles so deep into Canada right now. Over the last 15 years, 20 years, what's allowed to go on, it's going to take a real major awakening of the people to realize what the implications of letting the United Nations run our country is in the future, and getting people willing to stand up against it, Ron, because they are in all aspects of our country now, everywhere. Yeah. So it's like a cancer. It's a cancer. The cancer can be beat, but you go to attack it, and you got to get rid of it, or else it will kill the host eventually. Only matter.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's. I just want to say this to your listeners. If you look up inclusive capitalism, I mean, all roads still lead to Rome. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And if you just look up inclusive capitalism, and we have here Council for Inclusive Capitalism launches partnership with the Vatican. And who's involved in this is the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Rothschilds,
all the players.
And these people have been involved with these people forever. And then if you look up inclusive capitalism, here we have the Rockefeller Foundation, a framework for inclusive capitalism, February 3rd, 2021, and the Vatican one is 2022. Or no, it's 2020. And there, you don't read this in the newspapers. You don't hear this in the media, right? All you hear about is fear, climate fear, COVID fear. Well, these guys are working in the background, taking us down. And it's just absolutely ridiculous. You know, the Council for Inclusive Capitalism launched a partnership with the Vatican on Tuesday, saying that it would be under the moral guidance of Pope Francis. Well, he's a Jesuit, and he doesn't have any moral guidance. You know, the council consists of global companies and organizations which share a mission to harness the private sector to create a more inclusive, sustainable, and trusted economic system. Well, what did Rockefeller say? You know, the whole thing. I mean, every municipality is a corporation. They're not our councils. And Rockefeller stated in 1999, Newsweek International, someone has to take the government's place, and business seems to be the logical entity to do it. And that's from David Rockefeller. And that's what these people are doing. They want a digital technocratic lockdown of everybody and everything. And these big businesses run the show. And we can't allow that to happen.
They're sure going full speed ahead right now, Ron.
Well, they're trying their damnedest to get across the finish line, and we have a duty not to let them get across the finish line.
Well, they're doing that because they know more and more and more people are waking up every day to what's going on. And there is some people now that are starting to get involved that weren't getting involved a short time ago, because I think people are really starting to realize, or I'll say a small percentage of society now is starting to realize that what we're up against is very, very evil. This is not about a vaccine or a virus, and or not about a virus in any shape or form. It was all about getting the jibby-jab into the population. We look at what's going on with the numbers around the world right now, Ron. And yet, the Canadian government is still going full bore ahead with their vaccination programs. Like I said the last hour, I can't turn on mainstream media in Terrace, BC, and not hear at least one ad every 15 minutes about getting your children vaccinated to protect them. Well, it doesn't protect your children. It doesn't stop them from spreading it. But if we look at the VAERS data drop and what just came out from them, Ron, that is absolutely mind-boggling. The problem mainstream is not even talking about it, Ron, and it should be a front-page story, the reported adverse effects coming from Pfizer. Go ahead.
Absolutely. I mean, right after the war, the World Federation was created. And the World Federation is part of the United Nations Parliamentary Assembly.
Yes.
And Walter Cronkite, who was the man you can trust in news, got his award from the World Federalist Association. And when he got his award, he said how proud he was to sit at the side of Satan. So there's no level... well, you know, you look at the education of the children, they're being lied to. You turn on the TV, you're being lied to. You listen to a politician, you're being lied to. And we have to sweep it clean. And it's not going to be difficult to do. And like you said, Barry, when I was telling people this when I was 17, nobody wanted to hear it. And now I'm so happy because more and more people that I talk to actually want to hear what I have to say. And that's really good.
The young people like hearing about the most, Ron. How is they're interacting with the younger people and how aware they are in your community? Talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, and as this goes along, it will just snowball. You know, like I have the students telling me that they're trying to educate their parents because their parents are stupid. They got suckered. And so the students are working on their parents to wake them up. And so it's going to snowball. And none of these people have any authority over us. And none of these people are working for the people of the country. Therefore, they have to be removed. Simple as that. I mean, would you allow someone to move into your house and tell you how you're going to live and what you're going to do and what you have to do? No, you wouldn't allow that.
I love watching Trudeau get lambasted this last week here in the EU Parliament. Ron, that was priceless. That's the best thing I've seen in a long, long time. You hear them call him out like that, and it's gone viral all around the world. So,
But too many people are still hooked on this left-right nonsense. And both, I don't know why people can't see it. I mean, both the left and the right have always been moving the same agendas forward. But they speak in a different sense. So those who are on the right or on the left hear things differently because it's spoken differently. And they think this is good and this is bad. And that's that divide and conquer nonsense. And now the both the left and the right are absolutely 100% working together, because every prime minister that's still alive in Canada, all you got to do is look them up, and every one of them sold their souls, and every one of them is still, because once you sell your soul, you can't stop. They're all pushing the agendas, both the left and the right.
Wait a second. Whoa, Ron. We got a new savior in Canada. Come on, man. Pierre Poilievre is going to save the country. Didn't you hear that on TV?
Who?
Pierre Poilievre. Come on. He's going all over the country right now. The new prime minister of Canada, he's calling himself.
Is that a male or a female?
It's a male. But listen, bud, if you let us listen to the rhetoric that's coming out of his mouth, everything he's saying right now is what Canadians want to hear. And all of a sudden, he is now going to run for the head of the Conservative Party, and he's going to save Canada. What a crock of crap. Go ahead.
Well, I seen that.
Might have heard him talk a couple times.
I seen that idiot about, a year or so ago. And, people were going, oh, wow, this is great.
The savior, he's here. The knight on white armor.
Yeah, I mean, that's just off the charts. We as long as we have fun doing it, I have used righteous anger a few times, and it works very, very well because I don't get angry. But I fixed the problem, you know.
Well, I think righteous anger right now is very justified in our society, especially as more and more people become aware of how badly we've been duped.
Yeah, and we are the power, not the politicians, not the teachers. This is our country. Yeah, we need to simply put up the tariffs again, like it used to be. So we manufactured everything we required. Mm-hmm. And we need to create our own bank based on our resources and cut these guys loose.
How about we stop printing money out of thin air? That would be a start, because that's what this government's been doing for 2 years now.
You go into the bank for a mortgage.
You're starting to see the effects now, Ron.
Yeah, you go into the bank for a mortgage and you sign the paper and you think the bank's lending you money. No, you created the money with your signature. And now you're paying it back at interest. That makes no sense.
Well, what about fractional banking? I mean, the banks basically can print money out of thin air and lend it to you, and it doesn't really exist. It exists inside their computer, but they're allowed to do that. If we did that, we'd be in jail.
Well, yeah, like those two young guys, those two young brothers that did Old Canada bought and sold out land back in 2009, I think it was. They interviewed Paul Martin. They interviewed all these people, and because they were sitting around and they thought, where's money come from? And they went down to their MP. And they said, well, he'll know. But he apparently didn't know. And so they did that documentary. And I wish everybody would watch it because Old Canada bought and sold out land. Because it's just a total crock of nonsense. And how are people were so deceived so easily to all this nonsense is beyond me. I can't understand why people are so stupid. But it all goes through the benefits. The government's always giving us benefits, 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 benefits. Well, who the hell's paying for these benefits? Well, the government. No, you are. At compound interest, right? And why do you need all these benefits? You know, why can't we grow our own food? Why can't we manufacture what we need? We don't need these benefits.
Well, we did, Ron. We did that for years, and it was all taken away. It was a long-term plan to get us exactly where we are today. Nothing happens by chance, and it took a long time to take the country down. But look at where we are now. I mean, this is all planned out years and years and years ago.
Oh, and, well, yeah.
It's going to take a major effort to turn it around.
It really is.
You know, we're the richest resource-based country in the world.
We only have one choice. Either we let them take over or we take over. And if we let them take over, like our beach here in my little town is putting AI on the beach instead of lifeguards. And they're going to track everybody on the beach. And this AI is supposed to know when somebody's drowning out in the lake. But I don't think that's going to work because where's the lifeguard?
Yeah, who's going to respond?
Yeah, I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. It's just so stupid. It's
okay. I don't know what to say about that, Ron. There has to be a lifeguard on duty because if somebody's in trouble, there has to be somebody there right now or the person drowned. So I don't know where that's coming from, but I think I'd have a talk to your council about it.
Well,
because that doesn't make any sense. Sure, they might want to monitor
people,
but they still have to have a live lifeguard.
Well, I don't know if you got the smart meters out there on your for electricity or not.
We do,
but the whole plan of that is, and I went through that with the CEO before they put it in, that was a contained conversations. But then once I started telling the staff what was going on, that's when I started having police here all the time, which was fine because you got to educate them too. The plan is they want you to use – this is all about climate, okay? We have to save the planet. Meanwhile, there's 1,100 coal plants in China, of which is manufacturing most of our stuff, of which Morris Strong said nobody can compete with us because we got the cheapest labor, and then we're not allowed to use coal. So our coal and Australia's coal is being shipped to China, so now they have cheap energy. It's all about business. It's got nothing to do with climate. But what they want to do with the smart meters is they want to force you to use less and less and less and less electricity and less water to save the planet. And if you start using more electricity, then they're going to put your price way, way up. They're going to give you a here's what you can use, and if you use more than that, you're going to pay through the nose for it.
Yeah.
And this is complete and total control of the people, and we can't go there. We can't go there.
It's just one of the many tentacles that they're setting up right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to push the digital currency. We know they're going to push that. If they get that through, of course, like you said in the hour before, and Roger kind of talked about a little bit today, is it'll come in as something that's voluntary in the beginning because it'll be the cool new way to do things without having to worry about losing money, you know, blah, blah, blah. They'll sell it as a convenience to society, and it'll come in as voluntary in the beginning, but all of a sudden that'll change, and we'll all be forced to use digital currency. When we get to that point, Ron, we are in big, big trouble.
Well, that's why we can't allow them to do that. We can't allow ourselves to go there.
Well, yeah, right? But a lot of people are going to fall for it, Ron. The TV's going to sell it on TV, the new ads, you know, it'll be the cool new thing to do. A lot of the people will fall for it, Ron, unfortunately. The people that go along.
But we are the power. okay, we only need about 10% of the people. Those 10% need to step up to the plate. And then we can take over our communities. But it's just like that lady from Alberta who said, you know, I read what you wrote in Facebook, which they won't let me in there anymore. I've been saying this for years. You know, you got 7 on council, run 3 times the number so you can squash their narrative. Educate the people before the election so they understand what's going on. And that lady out in Alberta, she just said, you know, our people were getting a little ticked off about what was going on out here. So we educated them. And the election was last fall in Alberta. She said not one incumbent got voted back in.
That's cool.
And the other option we have, if we can't do that, then the other option we have is we can arrest them. Simple as that. Because implementing these globalist agendas into our communities is criminal because you didn't tell the people what the hell you were up to. And but I would rather we do it through the elections. And then we have control. Even the native people I talk to, they have no trust in their local councils or administration either.
No, I know that. Because they've seen what they've done over the years and the corruption.
Well, look what they did to the native people. We didn't do it to them. Our forefathers didn't do this to them. It was the Catholic Church and our government, so-called government. I mean, when the Queen of England knights Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, we know we got a problem.
Yeah, we got a problem. For sure. And the Catholic Church, of course, was taken over in the 17th century by the Jesuits. Anything you see in the Catholic Church is demonic. Go ahead.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, they flipped everything upside down. And our job is flip it right side up. And if they could flip it upside down, working in the background, then working up front, we can flip it right side up.
Well, it's a monumental task right now. We're up against the wall. We are wrong because the
well, we have to.
We have a window still available to us. The fight is
yes,
not lost.
Yes, we do. Yes, we but do. And
if we
and,
don't get
and
our poop together, okay. If we don't get our poop together quick, we might lose this thing. Go ahead.
Well, it's.
And I'm speaking the truth.
It's those who know and see have a duty to get out and talk to people. And, you know, I stopped at a guy's house last week, and there was a sign on his fence that said, boycott China. So I'd stopped there once before. Nobody was home. I stopped there last week and knocked on the door because there were some cars in the driveway, and his wife came to the door.
Yeah.
And I says, what's with the boycott China thing? And she said, you know, and I said, yeah, I know. And, but she said they had company, so her husband couldn't come to the door. I'll go see him again. But, she said that, he stands out on the highway sometimes, with a big poster, boycott China. And she says, it really freaked them out because the people that drive by are giving them the thumbs up, just like the students are giving me the thumbs up now. And she said, but, one guy, he had to jump in the ditch because one guy come over on the shoulder of the road and was coming straight at him. Wow. And he had to jump in the ditch.
Wow.
But, there's the biggest problem with people is fear. That's the biggest number one problem with fear. If I speak out, I might get in trouble. If I do this, I might get in trouble. Well, you were born into trouble. So the only way you're getting out of the trouble is to step forward. And that's not difficult to do.
We don't have a choice at this point, Ron. We don't. We cannot walk away from what we see. So
no.
You're awake. I'm awake. I know a lot of people listening to the show today are awake. We don't have a choice right now. We have to stand up to this. And yeah, we should be standing up against it with everything we got.
Yeah, period. What I keep telling people is stay away from the violence because that just divides the people more. And it gives the globalists the power. So we don't need any violence. They've been doing this for years and years and years and years. Just, putting these little things in place. And, this is good for you and that's good for you. But it's the same thing when I ran in that 2018 election and I was at that farm community. And all we were hearing was about mental health because they just keep yapping about mental health. And I just looked at the farmers and said, do you recall when you were young, all this mental health problem? And they started looking at each other and shaking their heads. No.
Of course not.
And I said, well, is it possible that these mainstream candidates are the ones with the mental health problem? And all the farmers just bursted out laughing because and the mainstream candidates sneered at me pretty hard, but tough luck. It's just about having some fun and waking the people, because once the people, if they're fearful and they're not having fun doing it, it makes it very, very difficult to accomplish it, you know? When I got pulled over by a cop and the cop says, you're speeding, I says, what are you talking about? Well, you're doing 100. And the sign says 80. Well, the sign don't mean anything, okay? This is up to you. So we have to come to an agreement. And I said, where I come from, the cops told me I could do just a tick under 110 on the highway. And the cops, well, I ain't giving you that. Well, fine. Let's come to a conclusion. It's all about solution. Always about solution. And the cop says, well, I'll give you 100. Well, I said, that's what I was doing. So you can't give me a ticket. And then I told the cop, I said, now you write down all the particulars of my vehicle and the plate number. And then you send that out to all the other cops in this neck of the woods. And he goes, I've been a cop for a long time, but it's this righteous anger thing, because you don't have to be angry, right? It's really just psychology, because these people ain't real bright. And when I first told him that I was glad he pulled me over, he told me that I've been a cop for a lot of years and I never had anybody tell me they were glad I pulled them over. Well, I am. And so he took all the particulars of the car and he said, I'll send it out to all my guys. And but that was, that started when I was working on Vancouver Island back in the 70s. And I went to see a client, see if he got his doors and windows, and he's happy with them. And they had a speed trap coming into the town and a bunch of cars pulled over. And so I went to his house and just to say hi to him. And I told him about the speed trap and he says, what are you driving? I said, pickup truck. And well, let's go look at it. And he started writing all this stuff down. I said, what are you doing? He says, I'm RCMP. And? Well, I'm just taking the particulars of your vehicle because you're a really good guy. And I'm just going to put this out to the cops, and they're going to bother you. You know, keep it within reason, but they're not going to bother you, right? And that's all we have to do, all right? The fix is not that difficult, right? You can fix anything, anywhere, anytime. Mm. Like when I was doing that renovation on a house, we were putting an addition on it, and I told some other contractor people I know, I says, I'm going to get this done in a month. And they said, there's no hope in hell you can get that done in a month. And I go, watch me. And I went to the lumber yard, and I says, anything you ain't got, order everything. And order the doors and windows now, because it's going to take 3 weeks. I went back after 3 weeks to get the doors and windows, and they didn't have them because he didn't order them. And so I just got the owner. Then I said, we're going to have to come to a solution here. So we got one of two solutions. I'm going to tell my clients to go and move in the most expensive place they can find and eat porterhouse steaks 2-3 times a day, drink very expensive wine, because you're on the hook for it. Mm. Or you can put a guy in the truck. You got a two-way radio. Get this guy on the phone and start phoning the manufacturers of the doors and windows. You got the list, and go get them. Those are your two choices. And 5 o'clock Friday night, Cube Van rolled in, and I said, did you get all the stuff? And he said, yep. And I said, where you been? Windsor, Kitchener, London. So he did a lot of driving, but he got everything. And it's all about solution. Solution is not difficult. Okay, if you put in your mind that you're going to get to the solution, then that's not very difficult to do. But most people live in fear that they might get in trouble if they say this or they say that. But we have to make this fun, you know? Once it's fun, it's over. Like the young people I talk to, they understand that we can do this and make it fun, you know? And some of the older people now are coming up to me and saying thank you for talking. And I have one old guy in his mid-70s give me a big hug, which kind of freaked me out. And he said, we're gonna get this done, aren't we? Yes. Because once you decide you're going to get it done, you get it done.
Yeah. Well, you know,
when I lived in Edmonton, I used to bet on the Edmonton Eskimos, of which I don't think they're called that anymore. But the Eskimos, they would be down 2 touchdowns or touchdown and whatever. And I just put some money on the table and bet on the Eskimos. And people say, well, they can't win now. But the Eskimos were brilliant because they decided that they were on the losing side, and that's not the side you want to be on. And they would win. They would get the 2 touchdowns, and they would win. It's all about a decision. Are we going to win or are we going to lose? If you decide we're going to win, you're going to win. Well, and Ron, that we got to pump in people's heads.
That would not be a hard decision to make for people if they were given the information that they need. The biggest enemy we have in our country right now is, of course, the media, because they're not providing people with the info to make informed decisions. So that's where we need to start. We need, instead of parades down Main Street and protesting in front of the general public, we need to surround CBC and demand accountability out of our mainstream media that we're paying to shoot us in the foot. That would be a start. If we could grab the media, then everything would change, because, like I said, so much now is being held back. The Pfizer dumps are an example of that. All kinds of information coming out now from around the world about what these jibby jabs are doing to people, and the media is not reporting on it, Ron. That's criminal.
Well, no, they're not.
One day they all go to jail for this.
Like, they got rid. They got rid of all the independent media.
Of course.
When I went to Vancouver Island, people were protesting because the company I worked for wanted me to go to Winnipeg with them. I said, I'm going to go to the West Coast. And they said, there's no work out there. There's a big recession. And this is always work, or if you can't find it, create it. But there was all kinds of people protesting and people asking people to sign petitions. And I find that really childlike mindset. You're not fixing anything. And I talked to these people, and I said, why are you doing this? Well, we're looking for support. Well, it's your problem. Why don't you fix it? And I was just in my 20s, and so I talked to a bunch of these people, and then I went through the government agencies, and then I wrote a story, and I took it to the mainstream newspaper, and the mainstream newspaper read it, but they're part and parcel of the problem, and said, we're not printing this. And so, but there were still independent papers left in the 70s. So I went to an independent. He read it and he said, can you back this up? I said, it wouldn't be on paper if I can't back it up. He said, this has got to get printed. And so when I got home, he called me and he said, I had to call these agencies and tell them this crap's coming at them. But that's fine. And then they all called me and asked me to come out to dinner with them so I can go to the other side. I said, no, just fix the frickin' problem. And within 2 days after the paper come out, there's no more protests. There's no more people asking for petitions. Get the problem solved. You're not going to solve a problem by running around going, help me, help me, help me. That doesn't fix the problem. Okay? You got a problem, you fix the problem. And when I was in Florida, because we had a big recession here in Ontario, and we were very busy building houses and stuff, and then all of a sudden everything crashed. So I went down to Florida, and it was just corrupt as hell down there. This was Hurricane Andrew, and I ended up writing stories and keeping notes and stuff, and while I was still working on construction and that, but I couldn't find anybody who wanted to print it. So I went to the Miami Herald. And this is the problem, people. I went and sat down with an editor of the Miami Herald, and I gave him the notes and that, and he read through them, and he says, we can't print this. I said, well, it's the truth. And the editor of the Miami Herald just looked at me and said, the truth. We don't give a damn about the truth. Right? Mm-hmm. And this is the problem. Okay? So people are sitting in front of their TVs, picking up the newspapers, picking up magazines, reading all this crap, and being totally indoctrinated into Stupidville.
I know people that go home every night, Ron, and turn on CBC and Global, and that's their world. And if it isn't on CBC or Global, it's not true. Unfortunately, yeah. There's a lot of people in our society are still stuck inside the matrix. Unbelievable. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so it's always about solution. There's a solution to every problem. And all we have to do is become the solution. Everything can be fixed, you know.
We can fix it, but our time's getting short, Ron.
We are the power. Make no mistake about it. Okay? We the people are the power. There's 38 million of us and some stupid reporters, stupid school teachers, stupid politicians, and they make up a very small percentage of our people. So we are the ones with the power, not them. You know, they flipped it upside down, we flip it right side up, and there's not a damn thing they can do about it. You know, we have to slice the UN, the WEF, and all the rest of these globalists off our land, so that they don't have any authority to implement anything into our land.
Yeah, they're not.
And we take back control of our land.
They're going to come back hard. They're going to come back at us hard. I know that.
We're going to win because we don't have an option. And all the parents, if you're a parent that's listening, okay, just like our forefathers came here, you have to you have a duty to those who come after you. Okay? You have a duty to make sure that your children and grandchildren have a proper future. And that's your obligation. And it's not hard to fix.
It's your duty, absolutely. Steve wants to ask you a quick question there, Ron.
Hello, Ron.
Yeah, how you doing, Steve?
Not too bad. I was just
I love your beard, by the way.
Well, I thank my Scottish and Irish German ancestors for that. I've been thinking here lately. I think the biggest key that people in small communities need to do is the first thing is unincorporate. That will break all contracts, won't it?
You're absolutely, I don't mean to butt in, but you're absolutely correct. The reason we have to get a hold of our municipalities or towns is so that we have control. Now, every town is a corporation. Once we have control of the town, then we get rid of the corporation.
Now, you're okay.
And now it belongs to us.
Yeah, you're okay. You didn't interrupt. I was basically done then.
Everything starts from the bottom and has to work its way up. Today, it's top down. We've got to change that. My only concerns, Ron, is if we do have the time right now. I know what we talk about on this show is the absolute solution to the problems we see, but I keep asking myself this one question, do we have time to make these changes? Because we now are dealing with a Liberal NDP dictatorship in Canada. You look at the bills they're going to ram through Parliament right now, the damage that these guys are going to do in the next couple of years in Canada, I don't even want to think about. Are we going to be able to survive that? That's a question I ask myself, given what I see going on right now. We only got about 5 minutes left, but I'm going to let you add your thoughts to that real quick, Ron, if you don't mind.
Well, they don't have the authority, okay?
But most people don't understand.
I know.
That,
most
Ron.
People, most That's people think, problem. Well, this is the government, and they're doing this to us or doing that to us, and there's nothing we can do about it. But that's a wrong mindset, okay? They don't have the authority over us. Both America and Canada are just corporations, and just like the guy from the Attorney General's office when I ran some history by him, and he agreed 100% because I told him that when our forefathers were here. And, you know, we had the Plymouth Company, Virginia Company in the States, and the Hudson's Bay Company here, which are all chartered companies. They all had their own jails and courts. And when they ran into, when our forefathers started running into the people from the Hudson's Bay Company, our forefathers were strong of the spirit, mind, and spine when they came here because they understood that everything had been flipped upside down and they had a duty to build us a new house. Out from under the boot of tyranny. And when the Hudson's Bay Company is telling our forefathers what they can and can't do, our forefathers just looked at them and told them to shove off. Okay? You ain't got no authority over us. We don't work for you. And that's when they got back to England and said, well, we understand you started this Parliament legislature thing. How's that working out? Great. They don't get it. Well, you better send that over here. Welcome to Canada. Mm. And so the whole thing's a 100% fraud. Frauds against the law, okay? They have taken us and made us assets, slaves of the corporation without our consent. You can't go there, okay? Which makes us the power. We are the power. And we have to lose this fears nonsense, which has been implemented into so many heads over through the education system, that most men and women come out of school and they have the attitude of a child, you know, because all you're taught in school is to bow down to so-called authority. And when you get out of school and somebody comes up and says, oh, I have a piece of paper here, you have to do this. Oh, okay, I'll do that. You know, we just have to strengthen the mind, spine, and the spirit of our people, and it's over. You know, they flipped it, well, we flip it.
Yeah, I can see a change coming, Ron. I don't know if I see it coming fast enough. As to whether or not we're going to lose this or not, I can't honestly say either way. I cannot honestly say either way. All I know is that if we do, I'm not going to say we are. I'm not going to say we aren't. I'm going to say that if we do lose this, and that does happen, then at least we are doing everything we can at this particular time. And that's all that can be said about
that. I'm very happy that you guys are having the meetings out in your town, because that is the real answer. Because as, you know, someone comes to a meeting that doesn't really know much and listens to the people speak, then that has a great opportunity to wake them up. And they may go and have a coffee with their friend and say, you know, I went to this meeting and this is all ass backwards. What's going on here? And we have a duty. And so, like I said, it will snowball. And they don't have the power. They have no right to attach us to the UN without our consent. They have no right to attach us to WEF without our consent, or implement those agendas into our communities without our consent, makes the whole criminal.
Go ahead. Sorry. Steve's just got to get something in here real quick, he says. Sorry for interrupting you, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely, Barry. Thank you. And Ron, I think I'm not going to speak for you, Ron, but I will ask you and I will tell Barry if he wants to get an audience with whomever in his little small town. As many people as he wants, he can bring in a computer and Skype, and I will gladly come up on a Skype and talk to people. I don't know about you, Ron, but I would.
That would work. That would work wonderful.
Well, that's what we've been doing. We've been bringing people in on Skype calls and Zoom calls, and getting people in the room and putting it up on a screen, and then we usually take calls and questions afterwards. So we've been able to bring in some pretty good people, and the community seems to appreciate the information that's been passed to them. So we'll keep that in mind. That would be something we could do one of these Saturdays. I believe I have Gerald Salenti coming in next Saturday to talk. So,
well, I want to thank you guys, because you're two strong men. And as you speak to other people, they're going to get strong too. And it's going to be good.
Well, Ron, we don't have a choice, my friend. I know, and I know I can't. I know you can't. I know other people that really understand what's at risk right now and what's at stake and where we're going in the near future with this whole scamdemic that's been played on us, that we can't walk away from it. We don't have a choice. A lot of days I wish that I didn't know anything about this. A lot of days I get up and I don't even want to look at it. It's just almost overwhelming. But then 5 minutes after that, I've had my coffee and we're ready to get back in the fight again. We're here till the end, buddy, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
So it's always great to have you in, Ron.
We just have to be as strong as our forefathers were. And we just have to reactivate their blood, because it still courses through our veins, and learn to say no. Simple as that.
Simple. Really is.
Yep.
Ron, thanks for coming in today.
I want to thank both Barry and Steve. I much appreciate being on here. And you guys take care. And, you know, we'll just keep doing what we're doing.
Keep plugging away, bud.
Yep.
Good on you, Ron. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Take care, guys.
Okay. Bye-bye. Well, folks, I'm glad this is over today, because my voice has been going all day long here and I'm having a hard time talking. So it couldn't end quick enough. Thanks for joining me, guys. I hope we brought some good information forward today. I want to thank my guests for joining me. And I'll be back next week, same time, same place. I hope you join me, and we'll see you then. Bye for now.